theirs beats Battlestar Galactica.
Nerd! You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the munders.
Bazinga.
Two in the box.
Ready to go.
We be fast.
They be slow.
Cool. Cool, cool, cool.
Austin Powers actor Vern Troyer hospitalized for alcohol addiction.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not a new thing. All right, so thank you. We are recording.
Bienvenidos.
Thank you and welcome
Hi.
To the Mount Geek More podcast.
Stop it.
Where your favorite podcast where we talk about, discuss, and argue your favorite, your top four, your Mount Rushmore, if you will.
And I will.
Favorite pop culture subjects. Today's pop culture subject is our favorites, horror movies. We are releasing this episode.
Spooky.
I know you're thinking to yourself, hello, it's April. Yes, I know. But we're Geek Bros proud to announce that we have now dropped a new podcast called Shiver, a horror movie podcast, which is David's baby. And with me,
thankfully,
I am
it
Nary
takes
Science.
After its mother.
I am Nary Science. With me, as always, is David.
Howdy.
The host of said Shiver podcast that is now available at the Geek Bro Network. Yep. Also with me is Jeff.
That's me.
And Raul.
Ciao, bam.
Thank you for checking us out. We're going to go ahead and get started rolling on the...
What? Keep rolling, 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 rolling.
Kinda what?
Rolling, rolling. Head sucker, hands down.
That's
so fast. Now I know y'all been loving this shit right here.
L-I-M-P.
I can do the whole thing.
Oh, that fucking song.
This good is right here.
Hardball. You fucked up, man. You had that great fucking song and you fucked up with a shitty movie.
Chocolate starfish.
Yeah, I do it his way.
Flavored
his way
water.
All right, so thank you guys for checking us out. Let's get into the what made your mountain, Raul?
I picked four movies.
Nice.
All right.
Dave?
I kept going back and forth and forth and back, and I just said, okay, well, whatever's on my list right now is what it's going to be.
Right.
I wish that Mount Rushmore's had 50 presidents on them, even though there's only 45. But Trump math. Because
depending on when you're listening to this,
Jesus,
this could be from this. If you're listening to this in 3 months,
yeah,
shit may have changed.
You made me realize I'm not going to be able to visit the Hall of Presidents for like a good.
Oh yeah,
years.
I talked about that. I was on the radio with Paul Casanova.
Oh,
and he goes, oh, but the Hall of Presidents is the best. You go in there with and take a nap. I can't go in there anymore.
You pick up that
can
you just dropped. Can you pick it up? It's right there.
It's
a little heavy.
It's pretty heavy. Because he's fat. We get it. Right? Y'all got that?
Shit. All
right.
But yeah, no, I
I am still looking forward to my naps in the Hall of President, man. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, you're going to have nightmares because you're going to be like, go to sleep. It's great. It's great. So I just kind of went. I decided I had to put a self-imposed something on myself, and I kind of picked one from each type of genre of horror. Mm-hmm. So it may not necessarily be a classic per se,
yeah.
But it's one that I loved and one that I felt at least I could take advantage in this moment to let people know they should probably watch this.
I think I subconsciously did that too, and I am happy with the four that are on there. I wish that, like you, there were more. You know,
yeah,
but because I can't, I just said, you know what, fuck it, I'm not gonna lose sleep over this shit.
It's gonna be, it would be too impossible because there's
because you're already losing sleep over thinking about these movies.
Yeah, that was good.
Correct.
Yeah, but yeah, like fact. I could easily have 40 or 50 that would swap out.
Yeah,
with movies.
Yeah, certainly.
Hands down.
40 or 50.
Yeah.
Fucking A, man.
Do you not realize how much Jeff likes horror movies?
And how many horror movies
love,
are out there?
I love action movies. I don't know if I can swap out 40 or 50.
Yeah,
that's a lot, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't like
action movies as much as you do, and I could probably do 40 or 50.
That's crazy talk.
Have you seen all the Steven Seagal collection? Yeah. That's a lot of movies. All
right, there's one good movie in there.
I'll give him two. Mark for Death.
Under Siege
2 is good, too. I'll give him three.
Okay,
there you go.
All right.
All for Justice, no?
Machete? You didn't like Machete?
After Mark for Death? Come on.
Machete's awesome.
Which is,
he's in Machete.
And I bought Diego as a joke gift for his birthday.
Like 15.
The one that he's an Alaskan, he's an Eskimo fighting the oil company.
Oh, that's...
On Deadly Ground.
On Deadly Ground,
yeah. How about Terminal Velocity? Is it Terminal Velocity?
No, Terminal Velocity. Oh, that's Charlie Sheen, isn't it?
Executive Decision.
Executive Decision.
Oh, you know what? Executive
Decision. He's in it for like 10 minutes. He's in the movie for like 10
still
minutes.
Still in it.
Yeah. Still counts. What are you, Neri?
I don't like horror. So I horror movies scare me. Scare the bejesus out of me. I picked my mountain based upon how many Disney and or DreamWorks movies, how many horror movies they made.
Okay.
So if DreamWorks made a horror movie, it's on my mountain.
So Hotel Transylvania is your number one.
Well, that's actually such Sony. A good one. But
that's my mistake.
That's a good one, though.
That's a fantastic
one. Is that Happy Madison? Cause,
okay. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't know that.
You didn't know that? Every fucking voice in that movie.
No, I know that.
You might as well be watching Happy Gilmore. That's the equivalent of what you're doing. But yeah, no, it's I made my selection. My list was really easy, man. It's what movies I love that happen to also align with horror.
It's the five horror movies that Neri's seen.
Or that would be difficult.
Six now with the next Shiver.
With the next Shiver pick.
Episode.
Yeah. All right,
he's not done yet, though.
Like 5 minutes left. I doubt I have more. The main Nazi general came out.
Oh, you guys are watching Death Snow?
Yeah.
Oh,
guess who's pick?
Fun, guys.
Guess whose pick that was?
Yeah,
bro.
So,
do you know I did a back to back, and Christy walked in on me on the second part. I felt like I was watching like,
well, they
pretty much. I felt like I was watching that.
Yeah,
because I look at Christy walking in, and I'm like, I just needed to do this. I need to like expand my nerddom. And she's like, fucking.
Yeah.
Pleb.
Yeah.
That's how I made my selection. Movies that I really loved that happened to also be horror.
Okay. All
right.
So that's how I made my selection.
Very nice.
Okay, Raul.
My number four, I'm just going to... American Werewolf in London.
Awesome. Awesome
pick,
dude.
Fantastic pick.
Anyone else?
One of the... No.
Which one?
American Werewolf in London.
American Werewolf in London. Number one.
Which one? There's a remake that happened in 1999.
That's in Paris.
Yeah,
that
was there's only one Paris. American Werewolf in London.
Right. Well, London, Paris, whatever.
is such a good movie.
Yeah. It is.
And it holds up. It holds up really well.
It holds up great.
And when you've got Nazi werewolves.
This is actually the first horror movie I watched through it the whole way with my dad, actually. I always remember.
I got to rewatch this movie. Because this movie, remember we've talked about this movie before, and I'm like, this movie sucked. And you guys, no, it didn't suck.
No, man.
I got to rewatch it, man, because you guys love it.
Maybe you saw Paris and thought it was London.
Paris, I like Paris, but I liked it because I know it was bad. But I saw London when I was a kid, and I liked it when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And then I watched it again as an adult, and I was like, this doesn't hold up. But maybe I'm wrong. But my adult, when I rewatched London, I was like 18. So maybe this is
wrong. Okay.
Go on. I don't want to stop.
No worries.
And also, he had his fingers.
It's probably one of my favorite creature feature, and also just generally a horror movie. It's also one of my favorite dark comedies.
Yeah.
It hits all three of those genres almost perfectly. It's directed and written by John Landis, who
kills kids in real life. So you know he's going to be fucking good.
Decapitates them even.
Decapitates them in real life.
He also did Coming to America. He also did Animal House.
That's no way to get ahead in a major corporation.
Oh, my God.
He was a little too headstrong.
Take you on. I'm sorry.
It's like, that's enough. Okay.
That's enough.
Sorry. Okay.
You good? One more.
He won't make it to the head of the class. Sorry, continue.
The story of this movie is great. It's a similar theming to other horror movies that we're going to come into later in this list. Such a great movie. I mean, so many people can just remember just the transformation scene alone.
That's brutal, man, that transformation scene.
Brutal. It's when I was a kid, it was the most realistic transformation I've ever seen.
I'm guessing you hadn't seen Teen Wolf yet?
And
or puberty?
No, I didn't want to see a guy's dick in my face.
Or puberty.
That's hilarious.
That scared the fuck out of me, that transformation.
What the fuck is this?
Hey, what the fuck is happening?
Mom, hide me for full moons.
Seasons. Seasons.
This is a really great movie.
Oh my God.
But yeah, the transformation scene alone is priceless. It does a lot to help out future movies and future practical effects.
Yeah.
But there's other great scenes and other great shots in this movie. The Nazi werewolf nightmare dream is amazing. The scene in the cinema with all the
zombies,
is hilarious and weird at the same time.
Yep.
My favorite scene actually is when he is hunting down the businessman in the metro train rail area.
Yeah.
It's such iconic. A great first person shot of like a monster pursuing a victim. It's just so great, so well shot. It's been, of course, it has tons of accolades. It won in the same year it came out, it won the Academy Award for Special Effects. But then later on, first ever achievement award that the Academy Award ever did for makeup, ever. American Werewolf in London got.
Really? Over Clash of Titans?
I'm just saying. Just letting you know.
Have they seen Dead Snow? All right, fine.
I'll have you know. God. Nominated for four 2009 Scream Awards, but we'll talk about that in the other
book. It's really great. I think it has like a 7% rating on IMDb. It's so great. There's a lot of great.
7%? On IMDb? I thought you meant on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm like, you're bragging about that shit? Yeah. You're bringing that shit up now? Like, no. I'm sorry, IMDb. 7 out of 10.
On 7
IMDb.
Out of 10. Okay. On IMDb.
scared the fuck out of me. I was like, that's not a bragging tool, man.
No worries.
It's got less points than Tu Wong Fu. Great film.
Tu Wong Fu is amazing.
Yeah.
Why would you fucking even bring that up? Why would you say it as a bad thing?
That was the first thing.
Why did you just bring
it up? You were thinking of John
Leguizamo. That's so hurtful. I'm going through changes.
That movie made me into a man.
Seasons.
Wesley Snipes is amazing.
Seasons. My puberty makes me into Christopher.
No, you don't
Walken.
Get that reference from the. That's the song that they sang in the Brady Bunch when they had the recording contract and Peter was going through puberty and they couldn't sing the song the way it was supposed to sing because his voice kept cracking.
I remember that episode.
And they had to rewrite, they ended up rewriting a new song called Changes, and it was about seasons. And he was like, seasons, changes. and that's how they think.
I just remember,
I said it like four times and nobody laughed. I go, nah, this is pretty good. I don't know why you guys are laughing. Because you didn't get the reference.
Sorry. There's so many great quotes from this movie. Quotes that I still say to this day, like, stay on the main road.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Like, there's a bunch of...
stay on the main road. Are you sure they didn't copy that from Dead Snow? All right.
It is about Nazis.
I cannot wait to hear Neri talk about Dead Snow. That is specifically why I fucking picked Dead Snow, to hear Neri talk about Dead Snow.
There's so many great things about Dead Snow, but...
Oh, fuck.
Really? So many.
So many.
You said so many. Okay.
So many.
I could have believed a thing. I could have believed there was a great thing to talk about. But okay. So many.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to get one from London, man.
No. The last thing I will say.
Was there a guy eating a condom like it's gum? Oh, that's Paris. That's American Warrior from Paris. That's a real scene.
I've never seen it.
You never saw it?
I never seen it.
I like that movie, man.
There's a lot of weird scenes in that movie.
I like that movie. I mean, it's obviously not the
original. It's not great, but it's all right. I think the ultimate homage to this movie and to show how stuck in horror and cinema is, it has gotten a Halloween Horror Nights house dozens of times throughout the years, and it's one of the best houses I usually attend.
That is a good house. Yeah, I've done it before.
And it's a great creature feature. It's a great horror movie. Again, it's also like a kind of a proverbial tale on puberty and stuff like that. Also has great music in it. A great work by John Landis. So that's my number four.
I like it. I agree with it.
Very, very
that's
good.
That's on there in those 1 through 50 that I've got all over the place. Fantastic pick, Ro.
I like it, dude.
Thank you.
Open mouth kiss.
And any movie where John Landis does
not
kill a kid. Is a
win-win, really.
A win, yeah.
That's like an Oscar.
Actually, it's a win-win. It's funny that I say win-win because that was the kid's last name. Win.
Oh, I got that reference.
Oh, shit. Now, to the listener, if you Google John Landis murderer, you'll see how he murdered two Asian children during the filming of a movie.
Yeah.
Twilight Zone.
Helicopter,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Helicopter. Their fucking heads off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they weren't even supposed to be there.
Right.
They were working illegally.
Yeah. The wrong kid died.
That day was the first day of the rest of their lives.
Trust unions, guys. That's God all I have to say.
God damn it, Dave. That was cold-blooded.
Cold-blooded. Yeah, I'm not a fan of American Werewolf for London. I do appreciate the iconicness of that movie. I do think that when people mention it in lists like this, I do tip my hat to it because I do understand that it was in the 70s and that the practical effects for the time were amazing. I personally, on this podcast, I think it was on this podcast before, I've talked about the transformation scene. To me, is what doesn't hold up, and I just, you know, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I'll go back and watch it as an adult, and maybe if it gets picked on the Shiver podcast, which could be found on the Geek Bro Network.
If you're listening to a Stitcher podcast about hypothermia, you're on the wrong one.
That's hilarious. That's so good. Shiver, a hypothermia podcast.
It's cold.
So how cold was it? It was fucking cold, man.
Let me tell you.
So, but I'm not the biggest fan of it. I do appreciate, it's kind of like when people talk about Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
I hate Gone with the Wind with a fucking fever.
Yeah.
With fever. However, I do acknowledge that it is an iconic movie in cinema history. Yeah. And I do acknowledge that it is important. And because of that movie, we got other great movies that came after it. So I can acknowledge a movie's importance and just not like it. Unlike Gone with the Wind, that I would never rewatch again, I will watch.
Well, because you can watch an American Werewolf in London
in one day,
three times
in one day.
In the time that
you can just watch it in one day, you can also watch it.
Well, it's different if you go into like a mindset. Okay, I want to see something funny, and you watch American Werewolf in London, you get the jokes better, and then like I can see how you can see it multiple times and get like a different aspect of a movie.
Yep, David.
My number four, I'm almost certain, is going to be tabled, and it is Jaws.
Of course it's going to be fucking tabled.
All right.
That's a horror movie?
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, man.
Don't see that as a horror movie, but all right.
All right. See,
I don't like American Werewolf in London, so shut the fuck up.
I didn't say I didn't like Jaws.
See, hang on a second. Movie. In defense of Neri, I had a hard time actually putting Jaws on the mountain because, like you, even though I know this is a horror movie, there's so much more to this movie other than just the horror.
Agreed.
That I think that if someone doesn't put it on a horror mountain but loves the movie, I understand that.
I get it.
So I almost didn't put it on here because I knew that you were going to have it, Jeff, so that I can fit something else on there, but I didn't want to take the chance. I didn't want to take
the chance.
You knew that
what
was going to be.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I know.
That's his number one. We know that, right? That's not even an argument.
Listeners.
By the way, it was tabled.
It's going to be tabled for a while, apparently. Zeri told you. Okay, so my number four. I decided.
It'd be great if he goes Jaws right now.
Jaws 3D.
He goes tabled. And, all right, what's your pick, Jeff? Jaws.
The Revenge.
Yeah. I went with something that was satirical to the genre, but it's still a great horror movie. And my number four is Scream.
Oh, Scream's awesome, man.
Great choice, bro.
I decided to go with Scream.
The first one?
Yes.
So am I the only one taking this list serious then? I just want to put that out there. Totally fine. Like everybody. No, I don't like Scream, but your pick is I do like American Werewolf in London. But go ahead.
What, so you don't like Scream?
I don't think that movie holds up, man. I've watched it literally without exaggeration. I watched it probably 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah. And there's a lot of fucking plot holes in that movie.
Well,
No. It's like watching it when it first came out in 1998, 99.
Probably. I didn't get
98, 99.
Around there.
Around that time. No.
Maybe 97.
97, because I know What You Did Last Summer came out in 99. Mm-hmm. So 97. Watching it back then, I'm 15, 16 years old. It's one thing. Watching it as somebody who could comprehend a movie and go, what the fuck? How did this happen? How did they go from here to there?
Right.
How did they, you know, it's just a fucking mess of a movie. It really is. I get it. I get why people like it. It was meta, you know, ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They had these
not things. Ish. That was
it was full on meta. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were doing things that, like, he just, I think, what's his name?
Wes Craven.
Wes Craven he was writing a movie for the sake of writing a movie. He was writing a meta movie for the sake of it being a meta movie.
I gotta
disagree.
And he
didn't care if the plot made fucking sense.
Is it weird? I gotta disagree. He had started on that meta kick a couple years before.
I didn't say he did, I didn't say just to start it. I said he did the meta movie. He did
I'm saying that this
well,
is.
Well, he didn't write it, first of all.
I think he
directed it.
Okay.
Yeah, he didn't write it, the movie. I'm sorry to.
Go ahead.
No. That's all I wanted to say. There's a story behind how Wes Craven got involved, but you go ahead and go with your.
How did Wes Craven get involved?
Well, they originally went for him, but he was filming The Haunting.
Right.
At that time.
Catherine Zeta-Jones Haunting?
Was that The Haunting?
That was the most recent Haunting.
I think so.
No, but wasn't that House on the Hunt? No, the House on Haunted Hill.
I'll look it up, guys.
But anyway.
Keep going.
So what happened was there was a delay in filming. So they had actually gone up to Sam Raimi, Robert Rodriguez, when he turned it down.
Yeah, it was Catherine Zeta-Jones.
And then, okay, so it's that one, yeah. So what happened was... There was a lull in filming, so he had an ability to record, to film, to direct it, so he came on board. He didn't write it, but he came on board and did it. I understand what you're saying, but I can look past it because, and you can catch the first episode of Shiver where we talk about The Exorcist.
Yeah.
The Exorcist is meant to be a serious movie.
Yeah.
Scream was not meant to be a serious movie.
Yeah.
Scream was meant to be a satirical take on the genre.
I get that, and I love that about it, and I do. But when you watch the plot holes, you go, this is not a satirical take. This is actual plot holes.
But plot holes are huge in horror films. Like, a lot of horror films, a good chunk of horror films, maybe I might even be able to say all of the
40 or 50 horror films
at least have plot holes.
Like, the ones I could think of right off the bat is always like Jurassic Park. How does the T-Rex get outside the fence? And then
we're talking about horror movies now.
I mean,
Jurassic Park has horror elements in it. Yeah,
that's crazy. Talk to me, man. I don't.
It's a monster movie.
I know. Again, is that a monster? It really happened. It really a T-Rex really existed. So how is that a monster?
Because it doesn't exist in this time period.
Okay.
And T-Rex have feathers and they cluck like chickens.
Yeah, life finds a way.
Which, by the way, very not scary.
Yep.
Yeah,
you get a fucking giant chicken clucking at you. Get the fuck out of here!
The raptors
chicken.
Were scarier to me than the fucking T-Rex.
Yeah,
yep.
But anyway, digression. So I love how the feel of this movie. I love that they had the guy who played the killer in the suit. That obviously, spoilers. If you've already seen the movies, we know that the two killers are Skeet Ulrich and
Billy Loomis,
and Shaggy,
and yeah,
Shaggy. That's all I can think of. Billy Loomis and what was Shaggy's
Matthew
name?
Lillard. Matthew Lillard's Shaggy.
Yeah.
He was also on Without a Paddle.
But the guy that they had in the outfit to play Ghostface
was Ghostface killer from Wu-Tang.
Fact. Scientific fact. purposely made sure he never interacted with any of the crew.
If you look in the special edition features in the very back corner, see a ghost of ODB in the background.
they had him not interact with any of the cast and crew, and they filmed those calls live where he was on a cell phone.
Oh shit.
And he did it live so that they could get the real impact, and he would have the same interacting with the actors, there was no sense of bonding or anything like that.
Right.
So they purposely did that. And then
that's crazy.
Like, it's crazy. Like, Drew Barrymore was supposed to be Neve Campbell's character.
Because of
filming schedules, she couldn't do it. She still wanted to be in the movie, and Wes Craven said, how great would it be if you get, because at that time she was already a big name actress.
Yeah, yeah. Huge.
How crazy would it be?
You mean this happened after E.T.? That's weird. It's fucking Drew Barrymore. She's always been a big name actress.
Actually, was this the first movie she did as an adult? Because I know she had a big break in the middle of her life.
With the drugs and stuff?
It was called Rehab. Sure.
Yeah. But what happened is they decided it wouldn't be such an impactful thing to kill a big name actress right off the bat, because then it would basically say nobody's safe in the movie.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, and I loved the different cast of characters, like Dewey, David Arquette.
Yeah.
Originally it was supposed to be a buff cop, but then they saw David Arquette perform
perfect.
And they loved
perfect,
it.
Perfect, yeah.
Like, you know, Courtney Cox as that Brooke Shields was originally supposed to be the reporter. And it ended up being Courtney Cox. It was just an interesting take on the genre. I know people are probably like, Scream, what the fuck? There's so many. Granted, there's so many more other classic movies. But to me, in the ones that take a stab at the genre, Thank you. Scream to me was a classic. And
the, this whole series, in fact, the whole franchise, because I like the TV show too.
Yeah, yeah, the TV show's great.
I love this series, and I'm probably with you. I think the first one is probably my favorite one. Scream 2 is really good too.
Yeah. Yep.
That's
the movie one, right?
No, that's three. Three is the one where they're filming the movie.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Which I think is probably Stab, right? I think it's probably the weak. Yeah, I think it's the weakest one. But there's a lot of really great scenes in that movie.
Yeah.
Man, I love this pick. Wes Craven is probably in.
He's great, Spence.
Oh my, he's so good. He might be my favorite horror director. It's probably between him and John Carpenter. Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah. Yeah, R.I.P. Yeah. Taken too soon.
But yeah,
by Freddy.
Do you ever,
bitch?
Do you ever experience that you start watching Scream and you feel like, oh, this is a comedy? Like the thing that always kills me and makes me feel that way is Rose McGowan's death scene.
Oh yeah, with the garage.
With
yeah,
the garage,
it's an awesome one.
It's, well, you know, but it's hilarious.
Wes Craven had to send the MPAA different versions of the movie so that they wouldn't get a hard rating. So like they were saying, oh no, but everything's like what you're like they so nobody got the actual where you see all the bloodshed, the deaths, and everything like that. Mm-hmm. They got different versions so that he wouldn't get
the hard
a hard R rating. And like Skeet Ulrich was actually like hurt on the set, like the scene where Neve Campbell's in the Ghostface outfit and she stabs him with the umbrella. Mm-hmm. He had a padding on it. She got it the first time, but when she stabbed it the second time, she missed and she actually stabbed him.
Oh, shit.
So, like, his face of pain is actually a face of pain, and they kept it in the movie. But I just love Scream. I thought it was, I think it's a great movie.
Yeah.
And I think, again, I could have put 46 other different movies on this list.
And it launched a lot of careers. It launched Neve Campbell's career, David Arquette.
It launched Neve Campbell's career.
Wasn't she already in Wild Things?
Party of Five was where she started.
And that's her biggest thing. Even now, people know her from Party of Five.
No, I think they know her more for Scream now.
Scream, bro.
Yeah,
Scream.
And launch her career.
Well, what year was Wild Things? Was Wild Things before or after?
That's a good one. Wild Things. Thinking. Wild Things launched something in my pants.
Launched my pants.
Yeah. Wild Things had to have been before Scream.
God, that movie was so bad.
It was after Scream.
Yeah, for sure.
Denise Richards was no one until Wild Things.
Until she was fucking Charlie Sheen.
That too.
Cut the age.
So that's my pick.
So. Yeah, my favorite part about Scream is that it launched the scary movie franchise, which I think is infinitely better.
It's an infinitely better film than the first one.
So I love the scary movie part one and two, and they just, it's like they watched Scream and they go, oh no, this is hilarious. Not for the right reasons, but let's make it hilarious for the right reasons. But everything, my germs, everything about fucking scary movies were fantastic. So
scary movies, right?
Anyways.
All right, so what's your number four, Neri?
My number four is, I'm having a little toss-up here. Little toss-up problem, little tussle. I'm going to go with Hannibal. All
right. The sequel or the...
No, the sequel.
No, Hannibal's the sequel. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Hannibal's the sequel. The original one is...
Manhunter.
Silence of the Lambs.
And then Manhunter
is way before.
Well, but Hannibal is... A remake of Manhunter.
Right. No.
Red Dragon. Red Dragon's the remake of Manhunter.
But here's the thing. It's you're saying remake is not... Because it's... So they made a 1988?
Right, something like that.
Manhunter.
Yeah.
Which is based off the book, but...
Which I think was Michael Mann's first big picture.
It's one of his first big
pictures. One of his first, yeah.
I did not like that movie.
And then in the 90s, it did... They started with
Silence of the Lambs,
which had nothing to do with the original 88 Manhunter.
Correct.
Yeah. And then part two was Hannibal, and then part three was Red Dragon, which happened to be, a different...
Based on the same
novel, it's on the same book, but it's not... To call it a remake would mean that it's the same part of the same...
It follows the continuity of the film series and not the books, but it's based on the book.
Exactly.
All right, gotcha.
But Hannibal, to me, Silence of the Lambs is... I looked it up to buy it. I was gonna buy the series. That's how much I love this series. Yeah. I really, really love this movie to the point that I don't consider it a horror movie. Hence why I really, really love this movie.
Yeah.
But It is very much a horror movie.
Yeah, undoubtedly so.
But I love Silence of the Lambs. I picked Hannibal because it's so underrated. Because I could sit here and wax poetically about Silence of the Lambs, rightfully so. But Hannibal, Silence of the Lambs, for, and again, I don't give three flying fucks about Rotten Tomato ratings, but Silence of the Lambs got like an 87 or something, certified fresh, and Hannibal got like 30. It was fucking insulting. And I thought it was like, what the fuck? You know, you haven't seen the movie, David?
The only ones I've seen is I've seen Manhunter and I've seen Silence of the Lambs. Yeah.
Was Ray Liotta was
Ray Liotta was in that scene. Yeah. That's why I wasn't going to give it away. Yeah, I was like making sure and verifying. You might hear this soon on a future episode of Shiver, and I mean soon. I love this fucking movie. I think that it did not get the credit that it deserved because everybody was thinking of Silence of the Lambs, I guess. I don't know. But it,
you guess?
No, but here's the thing. I can make... There's certain sequels that I say... Well, like I say this about Godfather 3. I think Godfather 3 on its own is a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really good movie on its own. When you compare it to Godfathers 1 and 2, it's shit.
Right, yeah. Right.
But on its own, it's a good movie. But I would honestly say that Hannibal is a good sequel to Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Is it better? Maybe not. I'm not arguing
that. I own the DVD.
Huh?
I have the DVD. I like the movie.
I like Hannibal a lot. I like Red Dragon's fucking great too. I mean, they're all Red Dragon series so is fucking good, man.
Yeah.
But I think the reason I picked Hannibal, or not that I think, but I know that the reason I picked Hannibal is because I firmly believe that it's really underrated, especially because people may compare it to the other two, but I firmly believe that it holds its own even when compared to the other two.
Yeah.
I love those fucking movies. I love the death scenes. I love the murder. It's just.
It's
I think to me the most iconic, from what I can remember.
Most iconic murder,
well,
in the series of the three, not including the TV show, because the TV show.
I don't want to say murder, but I don't want to say murder, but
he's a serial killer.
No, but the one I'm talking about is what we had mentioned,
right? Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
He hasn't seen it.
That's what I'm saying. The most iconic murder, death, whatever you want to call it, in the series to me is in Hannibal.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna tell you which one it is. You know which one. If you've seen the movie, you know what the fuck I'm talking about. If you don't, David hasn't seen this. So give him some break. But I think it is a phenomenal movie. I love that movie a lot. I saw it most recently, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, where I watched all three of them back to back, and then started. Oh, I even watched the fourth one after that, Hannibal Rising.
Rising, yeah.
Which is the prequel to the original one, which isn't bad. I mean,
it's the one the guy that plays Jin's father from Rogue One.
No, Hannibal. That's a TV show.
Okay.
Right. Hannibal,
which
Rising
I've heard is phenomenal. Mikkelsen.
The TV show? I haven't seen the TV show. The TV show is really good. I've only gotten to halfway through season
Lawrence
2,
Fishburne,
but I watched season 1. Live, like as That's it was good. Coming out, it was that fucking good. I don't watch live TV. That was really fucking good. Yeah.
Yeah.
But TV show is great, man.
The reason I think that Hannibal gets so much flack, understandably so and not understandably so, is that Julianne Moore reprises the role of Jodie Foster's character.
Yeah.
And that's one. I remember that when it came out, that was one of the big talking points. Like, why did Jodie Foster drop out of this?
That might be the thing that I didn't like. Was Julianne Moore in that movie?
I agree.
I think so.
I tend to like Julianne Moore.
From what I remember. I liked her more than Jodie Foster. And I love Jodie Foster, but I liked her more. But she was a different character. Not that she was an actual different character.
She played it differently?
Yeah, it was a Linda. It was a Linda Hamilton. She's more confident now. She's not that rookie cop anymore. She's not a rookie FBI agent. Ah, dude.
But there's this man.
She's still... only one generation removed from white trash.
But there's a lot of great, not just that scene, but like the scene of the millionaire that's hunting down Hannibal. There's so many great little nuances.
That's right. Now I'm remembering shit.
Yeah.
The pigs. The pigs.
Yeah, the pigs.
Now I remember. Now I remember
fuck,
the movie.
Man.
I remember.
There are very intense scenes in that movie. It also kind of extends
and expands Mama June.
On
She's in the movie.
This idea of how terrifying and villainous fucking
I'm sorry, Ro.
Savage.
He said the pig scene. He goes, "Oh, Mama June's in the movie."
Good. That's good.
I didn't mean to talk
No, that's good.
But back to my point. you only see in very little snippets in Silence of the Lambs why Hannibal Lecter is so terrifying. In this movie, it expands on top of it so much. It's not the scariest scenes in the Hannibal Lecter movie. I always think of, when I think of scariest scenes in a Hannibal Lecter movie, I think of Silence of the Lambs when Buffalo Bill's wearing the night vision glass.
That is, and you see
the fear in Jodie Foster's face.
That I agree. I think the scariest scene in, I definitely agree, is a night vision. However, that doesn't have Hannibal in it.
Yeah, it doesn't.
That's not the scariest Hannibal scene. That's not the scariest Hannibal Lecter scene. That is the scariest scene in the series. Mm-hmm. Absolutely correct. Yeah. I totally agree with that.
But it is a great movie. It is something that should get a little more respect. A great performance again by Anthony Hopkins. I mean, how can you go wrong with a movie where Anthony Hopkins is your main character?
I heard him do an interview on Inside the Actor's Studio. And he talked about when he reprised his role that he didn't want to do the same, scene. He wanted to do something like something kooky, something to take you off of the fact that he's a crazy serial killer. Mm-hmm. And that's how he got. And when, if and when, well, you will trust me, you'll watch this movie. you're gonna be forced to on your own podcast. he does this whole thing where he goes, "Okie dokie, then." Okie dokie. Mm-hmm. Like so casually, as he's about to kill somebody, he'll be like, mm-hmm. "Okie dokie," and it, that was his like interpret. He was like, "I wanted to make something so innocent and so like, oh, okie dokie is like the most non-threatening phrase." And he goes, "I wanted to get something so innocent and use it before these atrocities are made." And it's like, oh, what a fuck! Yeah. What a brilliant actor, man.
He's so good.
Yes. Yes,
Ridley Scott directed him.
Yes, Ridley Scott, directed. That's why I'm like, the fuck did this movie get like 18% on Rotten Tomatoes? What the fuck is happening?
I mean, it was. I remember the outcry about Jodie Foster.
I remember watching this movie after watching Gladiator. Gladiator was my introduction to Ridley Scott as somebody who knew Ridley Scott as a name. Like I, you know what I mean? Like I'm sure
you hear the name. Yeah,
yeah. So after Gladiator, because I'm such a huge fan of Gladiator, I was 15 years old. And I hear the name Ridley Scott for Gladiator, that name stuck with me forever after that. And then I would hear about movies that I already had seen prior to like Aliens, and be like, oh, that's Ridley Scott too. Like, he was also in some other shit. He's also done that work.
There's just so many good scenes.
Actually, it looks like Jodie Foster recommended Claire Danes to play Starling, and then Anthony Hopkins is the one that said no. He had worked with Julianne Moore in Surviving Picasso, and he had recommended her for the role.
I think she did fantastic.
No, she didn't do
There's
bad.
There's nothing that I don't like about this movie.
I don't know that I've ever seen Julianne Moore in something and said I don't like her in it.
Yes, correct.
So I have a hard time believing that I would have a problem with her.
But it's just because of the casting news. It's just because there'd be. It's just,
I mean,
like
the thing. Jodie Foster was so good that I can see her not being as good as Jodie Foster, but not being bad.
Yeah, but it was just the news.
You like gymnastics?
Yeah,
Velociraptor fighting.
Yeah, man.
Right, let's calm down.
Sorry,
we're in the middle of it.
Because I was responding to his comment about I did not like her in The Lost World.
I liked her in Lost World.
I
liked everybody else in The Lost World except her. Actually.
I don't remember. You like Vince Vaughn in The Lost World?
Yeah.
He wasn't that. He didn't, I mean,
he didn't really have a lot. He didn't really have a lot of lines.
I love the Hunter guy in that movie. Oh
yeah.
He's one of the only guys that makes it to the end.
All right. Spoilers. So my pick is Hannibal. I really love that movie.
Dope.
And I don't know anything else I can say about that movie.
That's all I got to say about that.
All I got to say about that.
You know, it's a good pick, yeah.
So number four is we have American Werewolf in London, Jaws, Scream, and Hannibal.
Yep.
Number three, Raul.
This is definitely not on anyone's list.
Ooh.
But this is one of my favorite horror movies of all time.
Please say that's no. Please say that's no.
This movie, it's so revolutionary and inspired so many other shows, video games, what have you. My number three, my friends, is Jacob's Ladder.
Table.
Oh.
Holy shit! Nah, I'm just fucking with you, man. you were so sure it wasn't going to be on anyone's list. Oh my God.
That face is a horror movie right there. You just broke his dream.
I'm so sorry, Raul. I'm sorry, man.
Raul, I will tell you this. Jacob's Ladder is one of two movies that as a child got me to stop watching horror movies.
Yes.
It was one of two movies. That movie came out, at least in our house, we would watch it. My brothers would watch it along with or like in the same, play cycle as Serpent in the Rainbow.
Oh, and yes.
Those two movies, I was like, fuck this horror shit. I can't sleep no more. I'm fucking turning my back. God. I'm like looking over my shoulder at all fucking times. Fuck this horror genre. Fucking in the ass. I'm out this horror genre. Peace out. Because before that, it was all about fucking Freddy and Jason and all the horror slasher movies. And then I saw Jacob's Ladder and I saw Serpent in the Rainbow. And I was like, man, fuck this genre, dude. I don't like this feeling as well. Yeah. Fucking bro, crazy psycho shit.
In the mid to late
that
80s.
Fucking coin. And he goes to pick up the coin.
Dude, yes. And the 90s.
Fuck that.
You get these revolutionary psychological horror movies.
I'm out.
And this, I feel, is the pinnacle of those movies. Jacob Ladder stars Tim Robbins, Ving Rhames. Lewis Black makes a cameo in this movie.
Danny Aiello,
of course. I forget the actress's name. Macaulay Culkin makes a cameo appearance in this movie.
That's terrifying.
This movie
Elizabeth Peña.
Michael Jackson.
This movie, it's an amazing...
Jason Alexander.
Yeah. There's a ton of people in this movie.
With hair.
Bro, ton
I'm assuming,
of people.
Totally assuming. I don't remember that movie that well to be able to play Jason Alexander. Like, that guy's gonna make it one day, guys.
That guy's gonna be a star.
I know I'm 9 years old, but I'm telling you, that guy's gonna be a fucking
There's
star.
There's something about that
one
guy.
One of the greatest sitcoms of all time. You just watch. Saying,
something about that guy.
Oh, man. I'm telling you something about Tim Robbins, man. He's gonna marry that Caesar Sarandon girl. No kids, though. Marry her.
He's gonna do the opposite of Warren Beatty.
Damn, bro, what can I say about this movie?
Warren Beatty and what's his name? Annette Bening's like Dan Marino. She's never gonna get a ring.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my god.
See what I did there? That's a sports reference, people.
Sports reference.
And one that I got.
There's a lot of
sports.
There's a lot of great things about Jacob's as we lose Jeff.
I broke Jeff. Okay? I broke Jeff. Nice.
Jeff's gone. Lost right. Jeff. There's many great things about Jacob's Ladder. Is in biblical terms, it's a story of the prophet David. I mean, not David, excuse me, Jacob. And
I was gonna say,
yeah, I was like,
that's a really
it's
fucked
actually,
up title.
Stairway to Heaven is somewhat based off of Jacob's Ladder. It's talking about this stairway that he tries to climb to heaven through.
I thought if it was David's ladder, it's everything he uses to get to the top of the fridge.
It's called David's stick.
Two for two on one.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Did you just take a stab in the dark, or you knew that I had a little ladder?
Oh my god. Oh my you know what's fucked up? When he can't reach that real high stuff, he goes up to Stephanie and he puts his arms up. Up. And she's like, all right, I'll
do you know
you
how in. Long it took the trainer to just pick me up when I did that?
He has one of those little claws that you get in the door.
Oh my god. I can imagine like David in like a post-apocalyptic like Mad Max situation that you're like the guy right on top of Master Blaster and shit.
That's an insult to Stephanie.
No, I didn't say that. No,
whoa.
That's the way Stephanie's going to take it when she hears this. You can watch. Promise. Right. And cue fucking text from Stephanie.
Oh, that.
Listen, leave him alone.
Yeah. At least you didn't call it Metal Slug.
Jesus. All right. Back to Jacob's Ladder.
I loved you in the Island of Dr. Murray.
Bro, it's a great story. It's based on this doctor who is trying to recover from Vietnam War. And it's so fucking good. So many things are inspired by this. Silent Hill, Evil Within, all of the Tool music.
Anything good, though.
Whoa. Oh, sorry.
Silent Hill was fucking
Silent
great.
Hill was fucking amazing.
Silent Hill was great.
I thought you were talking about Silent Hill, the movie.
Nine Inch Nails.
You didn't see the first movie?
Yeah. The movie is a fucking...
If you ever
that
played
is
the
one
games,
of the only
the
good video game,
game
movies.
Is it, didn't it make the Definitely. Mountain of bad video game movies?
No.
Which is the one that made the mountain with the island and the fucking ninjas and the
Mortal Kombat?
No. That was House of the Dead.
They, okay.
There you go.
Sorry.
Where they actually showed shots of the gunfight. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say Tool music videos, Nine Inch Nail music videos, American Horror Story... It has affected a whole genre of horror in itself. Such a good... It's an art movie that stays in the realm of horror, which is beautiful. It has a great story behind it. I really recommend watching it if you guys haven't watched it.
I haven't seen it in so long.
It's been so long since I've seen this movie.
It's been so long, and it terrified me so much that him talking about it, I was like, man, fuck
bro,
this movie.
Bro.
Like, that's how much I'm so scared of this fucking movie.
You guys want to keep Neary up all night? Neary. the demon dance scene at the club.
That's so creepy. So creepy,
dude. Would you fuck me? It'd fuck me. Oh, not that one.
No, no. This is. But when I saw that scene, I remember I was up the whole night.
I don't like the fact that both of you are typing this fucking name into your phones. Like, all right, take your planner.
It's next shiver pick. It's
fucking great.
Next shiver pick is mine, homie.
Homie.
This is my next shiver pick. So my number three, that's Jacob's Ladder. 1990 came out.
Leprechaun in the Hood or Leprechaun in Space. I would accept either or.
My favorite is Leprechaun in the Hood 2.
Oh, yeah. That's right. There was a 2.
Back to the Hood.
Back to the Hood.
Yeah. David, what's your number three?
My number three. Let's keep riding this Wes Craven train. A Nightmare on Elm Street.
The original?
The original.
Okay, that's not the one I have.
Oh. I have it as an honorable mention because I went, like I said, some different routes.
Yeah. In movies. This is the movie that made me realize that I love slasher films because I saw it as a kid. And then I didn't get back to it again until after the... See,
let me get this straight. Just make sure you're not putting part two in. Nightmare on Elm Street 2? Slapping the ass in the shower? You're not putting that one in?
No.
Okay,
no,
so making sure. Making sure. So I don't have to table. Coming out. I don't have to table. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Did you really put Nightmare on Elm Street 2?
No, of course he put Dream Warriors.
What's wrong with you?
Dream Warriors is fantastic. Yeah, that's part three.
I'm like, why are you even? Yeah.
That's my second favorite.
Shut up, go continue with the fucking with your list.
Okay,
shut your whore mouth,
bitch. I didn't.
Hurry up! This is your time. You're on prime time, bitch. Why are you giggling, bitch?
I didn't get back to A Nightmare on Elm Street until I think it was 2009 when the remake came out.
Yeah.
And so
I haven't seen the remake, man. Is the remake good?
You know,
it's all right.
I have a little soft spot for it because
I'm confused. Because you said, is it the new one? And he said no. And you said, oh, that's not the one.
Don't you worry about my list, man.
All right, I'm confused.
I have a soft spot for it because it rekindled my fire for A Nightmare on Elm Street.
It finger blasted your soft spot?
Yeah, because then after that.
With the glove?
Yeah. It was painful. But effective.
I can't
because
find
then,
the clip,
then
bitch.
I went back and I saw A Nightmare on Elm Street out, again. And it just totally blew my mind. And since 2009, I've probably seen it.
I want to watch
another
it again.
Six times.
I want to watch
seven
it
seven times.
Jesus Christ! Hey, have you seen Parks and Rec? No, bro, I don't have the time. I saw a documentary. Have you ever watched a documentary? It's like a five-hour documentary on all of them.
No,
I started it because he had nearly
it's
recommended.
So
it.
It's so fucking
really cool.
Good, man! It's so good. I haven't even finished it.
They did a Friday the 13th one too.
Yes,
it's on iTunes.
Memories of Crystal Lake.
Yeah.
So they have a documentary. It used to be on Netflix. I think it might still be. I hope so. Where they literally go
movie by movie,
part one, part two, in order of like how the story of how it got made, what it took to get made, the actors. They have some of the actors. The only one that's not the only noticeable actor that's not they're talking about is Johnny Depp,
right?
Because you know he's Johnny Depp.
He's busy doing
and they have him and all these. So they talk about all the movies and they talk about the how complex these scenes were, and they were a fucking indie nothing house.
Yeah. They got this funded like by a fucking miracle.
Yeah. Hooking.
Pretty much, yeah. You know?
I just want to say, the same way you were talking about Jaws, I was 90% sure you were going to have this on your list.
Yeah.
So that's why I put it as an honorable mention.
Okay.
Because I was...
Fuck, I wish I would have put Jaws as an honorable mention to put something else on there.
Yeah. I was fairly certain you were gonna have it.
Yeah, this is this has always been on my mountain. And in every iteration of this mountain that I did, somehow Nightmare was the one constant. Great. Even my number one got pulled off the mountain at some point because we talked about it on Shiver. I was like, oh, well, you know, if you want to hear about it, you can go to Shiver and hear about it.
Yes.
But this movie, I don't know, man. It's just like it fucks with you because we all dream, right? Whether you remember it or not. And this is, I think, the start of Wes Craven's meta obsession because you don't know whether they're dreaming, whether they're awake.
Right.
Freddy is absolutely terrifying. And he is, Wes Craven talked a little bit about why Freddy is who he is, and he wanted to make the absolute worst possible villain that you can make. What is the worst thing that you can imagine? And it's a child molester.
Right.
And the studio wouldn't let him do child molestation, but they let him do child murder.
Right.
So I kind of understood that when they did the remake,
yeah,
and they were like, oh, well, he you know, he was a child molester.
Because now it's a little more...
Right, so it was a little more well-known. So I was like, okay, well, and honestly, I mean, I think killing a kid is worse than, you know, sexually assaulting the kid, even though that's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
You know?
Doing anything to a kid.
but yeah, so, I mean, he's just... He's god awful. Some of the scariest fucking scenes that I can possibly think of, they stick with you. They're so vivid. And one of my all-time favorite death scenes is in this movie, which is Glenn's death when he gets sucked into the bed and it just fucking rains blood for like, I don't know, it's got to be like a good 40 seconds, 45 seconds.
Yep.
The music in this movie is absolutely killer.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It sets the mood right away. I mean, everything, every single actor is perfect. Nancy's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
She's so great.
Good heroine.
Yeah, fantastic. And her character develops, you know, in Dream Warriors to be, you know, this incredible fucking badass.
Right.
You know, which by the end of the movie, she kind of is. And there's not a single thing about this movie that I would change.
Can I talk about how Wes came up with the idea for Nightmare on Elm Street?
How?
Okay, so Wes would go to Hollywood and he's trying to come up with stories that he was trying to figure out. One day he picked up the newspaper and had a story about a Japanese man that died in his sleep. The way this Japanese man died was he was an insomniac. He was a constant insomniac. He'd be super tired throughout the day, but he would take pills and he would take large amounts of caffeine to stay up throughout the day because he truly feared that if he fell asleep, he was going to die. Mm-hmm. So he would tell his family this, his friends and family. Finally, all of his friends and family corner him, remove all the caffeine and all the pills from his room and stuff like that, and finally get him to fall asleep. They close the door once he falls asleep. They're walking out. They're going to have tea in the hallway. All of a sudden, they hear a shriek, and they all freak out. They go back in the room. The guy dies of a heart attack. So that's where they came up the idea of Nightmare. That's where he got the idea.
There's a great episode of The Twilight Zone where this guy walks into a psychologist's office. I think it's a psychologist. And he starts telling him the story about how for the last couple of nights, this woman has been following him. And he sees her in his sleep. And that he knows that the next time that he falls asleep, he's going to be so tired that he's not going to be able to wake himself back up. She's going to kill him. And he knows that she's trying to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this whole like circus scene when he's asleep, you know, in his dreams. And sure enough, he falls asleep in the psychologist's couch, and you realize that the whole session that he and the psychologist have had has been in his dream. And he died the moment he sat down at the couch. An occurrence at Owl Creek, you know.
It's really crazy.
Yeah.
There's so many great things. The setting of this movie, like the
suburbia,
that
you know,
steam house that they'll go into the dream.
See, as much as I love that, you know, and Freddy's playground is awesome, and it's dark and it's dirty and it's everything that is Freddy. What makes to me that movie so scary is the fact that it's your neighborhood,
right?
Yes,
that's what's truly scary for
me. Your house,
when you were in LA, did you go by the house because it's still there and they still have the red door?
I spent all of 5 minutes in LA going from LAX to the 405 or whatever it was on my way to Anaheim.
Okay. Going to In-N-Out?
As soon as I got to Anaheim, it was the first thing I did.
Oh my God.
There's actually a correlation. Remind me when I talk about my number three.
Uh-huh.
There's an interesting little tidbit that connects my number three to Nightmare.
Well, what's your number three?
Well, are you done talking about? I don't want to step.
I mean, we could talk about this all night. So yeah, sure. I mean,
Okay. So my number three, I went with a film, just like what you were saying, Raul, about the practical effects. The practical effects that they did in this movie were fucking fantastic. It's probably my favorite of the series.
Mm-hmm.
It's a requel.
Okay.
As in the words of the star, that's what he calls it. It's Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn.
I love this movie so much. And the first one is an honorable mention for me.
Is that
me.
The one that has a boomstick?
Yeah. Well, the boomstick's in it, but he doesn't call it the boomstick
until
the third
until,
one.
Until Army of Darkness, which is such an underrated
so,
one.
So, which was your pick?
Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn. So, what happened is... Basically, here's the thing, and Bruce Campbell talks about the fact that this is basically a remake of the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happened is that they did not have the rights to the first movie.
Okay, yeah, so that's... I've read conflicting reports about it, and one of the things I read is that the first, like, maybe, like, 5 or 6 minutes, whatever it is a pseudo-retelling of Evil Dead.
Yeah,
and then the moment where he gets launched and hits the tree, that's where Evil Dead 2 really starts, and the rest is the sequel to Evil Dead.
So what happened? Correct. And he said that what happened is that they did not have the rights to use any of the films for stuff from the movie. Him and Sam Raimi did not have rights to it.
Right.
So what happened is Stephen King was a huge fan of the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
So Stephen King was working with Dino De Laurentiis on another movie, and he said, hey, you should produce this movie. So what they had to do is create a fake production company called Rosebud that doesn't exist.
Right.
But they could release it as under Rosebud so that they didn't have any issues with the people who had the rights to the first movie.
Okay.
They basically
started a dummy corporation.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so basically they did he says it's a requel because it's kind of a retelling of the original. But it's
technically a
sequel. And, I mean, you've got this guy goes to a cabin. The Necronomicon, Ex Mortis, the Book of the Dead, they find it. They read some Latin, released this evil spirit. The practical effects in this movie are just so, so awesome. Like, Sam Raimi, like... The scene with the hand and that.
Oh my god! It's gonna be Mary hasn't seen it. Love that.
So I don't want to go too much into it because I don't want. I that's gonna be one of the ones I put for Shiver because Neri hasn't seen it. But the hand scene, you know, that was all him obviously doing it. Funny enough is they got the idea from that because one of the producers did a short horror film about the hamburger helper mitten that becomes a demon and attacks somebody in the kitchen and starts terrorizing
them. I thought that was what the hamburger helper mitten was already. That's not fucking creepy as fuck to you? Super creepy, dude. Him and the Arby's mitten need to fuck off, man.
So there's famous scenes like the tree scene where the movie almost got an X rating
because of that stuff. It's weird because... I think you're right. It is so much gorier. There's more gore in this than there is in the first one.
Yeah.
But it's not as scary as the first one.
Right.
For me, the first one is a straight-up horror movie with very few elements of comedy. And where it's supposed to be comedic, it is. And it hits every single comedy beat. For me, Evil Dead 2 is all about the humor.
Yeah.
And the horror is so outlandish and it's so crazy over the top that it isn't really so much scary anymore. There's some good scares.
Yeah.
But because Sam Raimi knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
But my favorite stuff in Evil Dead 2 is that slapstick stuff. My favorite scene is when he's going nuts and the whole cabin is laughing with him. That is maybe my favorite scene in the entire trilogy.
That scene is so good because it does two things to me. I want to laugh because I think it's funny, but I'm also like, should I be laughing or is this person losing his mind?
Yeah, no, it's terrifying. Like,
deer head on the wall that's turning and going. And then it's just that close up of his face just laughing. And then he goes from laughing to like, oh, the fuck.
Yeah.
Anything wrong?
Yeah.
No. What a lovely room of death.
Ace Ventura. Okay, so I said that there's a connection.
Right.
So here's the thing that happened. So. When Jaws was coming out,
mm-hmm.
connection
it was the same year function? As The Hills Have Eyes.
Okay.
Hills Have Eyes thought they were going to be a bigger movie, so they had a Jaws poster in
oh,
the Hills
yeah,
Have Eyes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know what you're okay. talking about now.
So then what happened is then Sam Raimi in the first Evil Dead was like, oh, yeah? Okay. He has a Hills Have Eyes poster in the first Evil Dead because he was like, well, we're going to be a bigger movie than Hills Have Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Then Wes Craven saw that, and so he was like, oh, yeah? So when Nancy falls asleep in one of the scenes in the movie, she's watching Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Mm.
So she's watching the Evil Dead.
Evil Dead came up at the same time as...
Apparently. Or it might have... It was 87. I don't know when Nightmare came out.
Yeah, which Nightmare?
Oh, 84. So it would have had to have been... First Nightmare, I think, is 84. So it would have been Dream Warriors.
So it might have... Okay, so it might have been Dream
That's
Warriors.
That's why I was like, what the fuck? Hold yeah. on. This math is not equal up here.
So it might have been Dream Warriors.
Yeah, because 85, I think, is the first Evil Dead.
Well, no. Actually, the first Evil Dead was 81. It was like 6 years in between the two that they did.
Oh,
it was like a big gap. You can double check that, but I believe it was a big gap. Yeah, it was 84. So it was probably Dream Warriors.
Yeah.
I
do know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So then what happened is that then Sam Raimi goes, oh yeah. So in Evil Dead 2, there's a scene where when he goes into a shed, above the shed, there's Freddy's glove. His gloves hanging above the shed.
It's one of the things that he looks at when he's trying to find what the fuck to kill these guys with, and he chooses the chainsaw.
Yeah. We were like a butt hair away from having Ash versus Jason versus Freddy.
I know, that would have been fucking so good.
Oh my god!
But it's such a great movie.
Happened in the comics.
It's when they got a little more. Of
oh
a budget.
Yeah, you're right. Evil Dead is 82. I was wrong. It's 82,
and then Evil Dead 2 is 87.
A Nightmare on Elm Street. Is 84.
So then, yeah. So she was watching Evil Dead, mm-hmm. their first one.
There's great practical effects in the show.
Yeah, the practical effects in the movie. Ted Raimi's debut in film.
Yep.
Henrietta, which was a demon that was in the basement.
Yeah.
Wore a fat suit and mm-hmm. was like literally it was full just practical
I
makeup.
Will have your soul.
I will have your soul. Yeah, don't worry, you'll see it. So good. I'll come watch it with you so you don't...
Why are there basements and cabins?
Yeah. Funny enough, the cabin that they filmed it at did not have a basement. So the basement scenes where
because
they're looking
Because they filmed
up,
it in an actual cabin and no cabin actually has basements.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, like the fact that you're the cabin that they filmed it in.
Well, my parents' cabin in North Carolina has a basement.
Okay.
Do you go in there a lot?
That's actually where the pool table is in my room.
Do you feel fine there?
I do.
Are you there alone, or do you have a friend there just in case?
And I have a few friends.
Yeah.
But they actually filmed. They built a set. They built it for the shots that they were getting people in from the cabin. They dug a 4-foot hole in the floor to simulate that there was a cellar.
Right.
And then they shot it like in another soundstage. The shots from the cellar.
Right.
In a different place, but it's such a cool movie. It's a classic. I absolutely love it. I think the practical effects were great. It's the what made Bruce Campbell Evil Dead, and this made Bruce Campbell a household name.
Each one in this series is
super amazing.
But yeah, that's my number three. Is Evil Dead 2.
Is that the first time like a chainsaw is majorly used in a horror movie? Or is that Texas Chainsaw?
No, Texas Chainsaw
Texas
Massacre.
Chainsaw, yeah. That was 70s.
Texas. Look at
me. I'm just asking.
It's in the title, Raul.
I'm asking.
It's in the title.
Doesn't hurt to ask.
Okay. You're right. It was a very weird question because I was like...
horror expert, not horror expert, asking horror expert that question.
All right. But that's my...
Definitely the first time a chainsaw is attached to any body part. Ever.
Attached? Yes. Probably. Probably. Okay. Yeah. I would say yeah.
My number three pick is A New Nightmare.
That's a good one.
I knew it was going to be a Nightmare on Elm Street. Right. I just didn't know which one it was going to be. And if I went back and thought about it, and A New Nightmare is fucking... I mean, you want to talk about, meta? You want
That concept is so fucking awesome.
So fucking amazing. So good.
It's almost Frankensteinian, like Frankensteinish.
Yeah, the glove is the one. It's so fucking good, man. Everything about that movie. You know, it's based upon they're making the movie of Freddy Krueger. They're making the Nightmare on Elm Street movie within the movie,
mm-hmm.
and then the something happens where the spirit of Freddy is real and takes over Robert Englund and the whole night. It's real killings start happening in the real world, but people think it's because of the movie, and it's just the meta of it is fantastic. I think it's a very realistic approach to a horror movie. It makes it like, oh, this is a horror slasher movie, not just a regular horror movie, but it's a regular horror slasher movie. And it basically, like, I don't see it as a comedy, so I was gonna say it's like Scream, but it's not Scream.
It's not as campy as Scream.
It's not that's what I was gonna say. It's not campy, and it's, you know, it doesn't have
and it brought holes. Freddy back to his like horror stuff, and not so much the slapstick humor that he was using before.
It was kind of a Wes Craven's answer to, they started using Freddy, I think Iron New Line, whoever had the rights to Freddy, started using him in like a Crypt Keeper TV show style. And Wes did not like the portrayal, and that's why he created, part of the reason he created New Nightmares because of that.
Well, his intention was always just to have the one film.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then when they took it and did, was it Dream Child is the second one?
Dream Child's the fourth.
No, Dream Child's the fourth, dude.
Freddy's Revenge is the second one.
Freddy
got fingered.
Right. They did Freddy Got Fingered.
He liked some sausage.
He did not like it at all. So he did Dream Warriors to end the series. He was like, all right, listen, let's just end this thing. And I think, what a way to fucking end it. But then, of course, they fucking ran with it. And fucking New Nightmares, the best way to end the series.
I think New Nightmares. I haven't seen the remake, the 2008, whatever remake.
It's worth a watch.
I want to watch it, but the New Nightmare to me is just so fucking good, so man. Good. It was fantastic. I rewatched that movie as a teenager
a couple times. Freddy's Revenge. Great scare in that movie is when the dad is driving and all of a sudden the claws come through his chest.
Oh, yes.
Bro, oh, man.
Yes.
Dream Child was actually...
And he grabs onto the wheel.
Yes.
And the fucking... The claws go through the chest and grabs onto the wheel and starts fucking driving.
Yes.
It's so fucking good, man.
That might be the most iconic scene in the movie, actually. Now that I think about it.
Well, no, there's that nurse scene where the son is in the nurse's office.
Okay.
And then she gets slammed around.
That was a good one. That was pretty iconic ones, man. That's pretty good ones. And that's the thing with Freddy movies. Like, all of them had, even the bad ones, had
good moments.
Good kill scenes.
Yeah.
Like, they put a lot of effort into kill scenes. Not so much the rest of the plot or acting. Yeah. But some of these fucking, like, some of these kill scenes, you're like, whoa, that's really fucking good. Bro, you're on prime time, bitch. That shit to me is fucking great, dude. But anyways, we could wax poetically about New Nightmare. Awesome. I love that movie.
By the way, I told him corrected. Dream Child was the fifth one. Dream Master was the fourth one. Mm-hmm. Dream Warriors was the third one.
Right.
Okay. And it was Freddy's Revenge is the second one.
Okay. Got it.
Freddy's coming out.
I want the world to know.
He wants the world to know.
I got my claws to show.
Bitch. all right. So the number three picks were Jacob's Ladder, Nightmare on Elm Street, the original, Evil Dead, and New Nightmare.
Awesome.
What do we got for number two?
My number two, I was actually flip-flopping, but since you picked Nightmare on Elm Street, I'm going to move it to my honorable mentions. My number two involves a movie. Well, this is
because you didn't table it, so you would have to move it now.
No.
That's true.
I already decided that.
Okay.
But this movie is so good because it's terrifying, but no one dies in it. You don't see anyone die in it, and you don't really know what's going on.
Too Wong Fu.
My number two, my friends, is the Blair Witch Project.
Oh, okay.
In my top 50.
Blair Witch
I was talking Project. To Christy about it. Christy. Terrified from that movie.
It's the first of the found footage.
I thought it was real. I saw it opening weekend where I thought
that's
it was
what's
real.
So scary about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. The marketing was fucking genius.
I remember watching a midnight screening of it, and on the way back, my best friend and I were like looking back at red lights because it was like from Sunset Place. So it was like,
I saw it in Sunset Place opening weekend. I was scared. Fuck, I really thought it was real. I wasn't looking back and shit, but I was convinced that it was real. And then like 2 weeks later, I see this chick at the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
And she waves to the fucking two dudes who are in the fucking crowd. And I'm like, Santa Claus. This is Santa Claus all over again.
Shit. Bro, what can I say about this movie? It, again, it's the first of the shaky cam found footage movies, but it's so good.
Is it the birth of it? I think it should be, right?
I think it was the first. I think it's close to being the birth of it. I'm not sure.
I don't remember another shaky cam found footage movie before.
But it gave birth to it.
You're going to see a bunch, though.
It's just such a fucking good movie, and it's really a tribute to the actors in that movie are phenomenal in displaying the confusion they feel, the somewhat psychosis and like the mania they start experiencing, and you don't really, and it's one of the things I love about horror movies, much like Jaws, you don't really see the monster, or you don't really see what's the creature coming after. Go ahead.
Sorry, Cannibal Holocaust from the 1980s. Because I was looking at found footage stuff.
Have you seen that movie? Do you know that movie?
I know Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah, you said that movie was such. You said that name was such like. Oh yeah, obviously. That,
oh, you don't want me to put that on the list.
No, I don't want you to put that on the list. But I'm saying.
Oh, like, you're gonna talk about Green Inferno one day, boy.
Cannibal Holocaust.
Green Inferno.
I haven't seen Green Inferno.
So Blair Witch Project. Oof.
Okay, Blair Witch Project is
Cannibal Holocaust is some shit.
It's just great, like the. You get so enthralled and terrified just by wind hitting a tapestry of a tent, and it's amazing. It's just so well done, super low budget, and it produced so much. Can't go wrong. It's one of my favorite movies. It's one of my favorite horror.
We're not talking about Dead Snow.
No.
Tapestry of the Tent. We're not talking about Dead Snow.
Hey, I don't think Neri liked Dead Snow.
I thought he was talking about the Tapestry of the Snow.
No, but
by the way, that's one of my favorite scenes from Last Crusade.
Yeah. The tapestries? If you are here to see the tapestries, then I am Scottish law.
No, but Blair Witch is a great pick. I mean, it created a genre.
I was working at Blockbuster at that time. And I was telling people it was real. No, it's real, bro.
It reinvented a genre.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, Cannibal Holocaust is the only one in 1980s. Yeah. Then you jump to Blair Witch was 1999. So nobody did the found footage thing.
Think about like all the movies. Like think about Paranormal Activity, Cloverfield, just all of them that you can think of.
Yeah, without that, you don't have any of them.
So, I mean, that's my number.
I think it's great. That's a good pick.
Good.
I like it. I love it. I want some more of it.
And the ending is really good too.
I like it.
Oh, the ending. It was like one of those things. Like, wait, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
Wait, what the fuck's that thing in the corner?
That's why.
Who the fuck is that?
As much as some people, I like sometimes having a definitive. You know, they right away happily ever after.
Sometimes
ending.
It's best not to.
Sometimes it's best to have that question in your mind, or sometimes it's better just to have like the bad guy win.
And with that realistic backdrop of the movie, I think it works.
Oh, mm-hmm. Works.
You know.
I agree.
The only thing is that movie can't.
It'd be a lot different to make a movie like that now because of cell phones.
Yeah.
Well,
you're not getting any reception. All right. Again?
Well, there's a series. There's a series called VHS.
Yes, oh, yes.
And Rec that are both fucking fantastic, and they're found footage ones. But
what's the Michael Keaton one?
White Noise.
White Noise.
Yeah.
White Noise.
Yeah. I was like, that was good, too.
Wasn't bad.
Yeah, well, wasn't good. Awful. Good's a little.
I mean,
it was decent.
Well, I think it was good up until a certain point.
I put it above Dead Snow. How about that?
I mean, I put a lot before Dead Snow.
Talk about,
I didn't pick Dead Snow because of its quality.
You want to talk about 50 movies? Yeah, all right, I can do that.
Blair Witch.
What, you didn't like the Haunted Nazi Gold?
But then fucking Blair Witch 2 came out.
I didn't see.
Don't ever watch it.
I've never seen it.
Oh my god! Don't ever fucking. It has nothing to do with found footage. It just has to do with shitty acting and a fucking stupid.
Isn't Jamie Kennedy like the main actor in that movie?
I don't even fucking remember.
Well, I just remember they're in a warehouse and there's shitty acting.
I like Jamie Kennedy.
Hey, Malibu who wanted, bro. Come on,
Malibu.
The mean streets of Malibu. So, David,
My number two is the second film from a director that's already been mentioned, Ridley Scott, and that is Alien.
My favorite of the Alien movies.
This is
especially because it's the only one that I've seen in its entirety. I really do love that movie.
I have a feeling that even if you saw 2 through 4, because you've seen Prometheus, have you not?
No.
Okay. I have a feeling even if you saw 2 through 5, it would still be your favorite.
By the way,
what do you mean 2 through 0?
I just want to confirm, Raul, you're talking about the original Blair Witch, right? Because remember, they did that remake.
Original.
So make sure people know that it's not the
Okay. I think it's 1998, if I'm correct.
99,
okay.
Yeah.
So you picked
Alien. Everything about Alien just works. Mm-hmm. And I think it's much more than just Ridley Scott. I think they just captured lightning in a bottle with that, you know, and it is
Sigourney Weaver in underwear. Oh, my peepee feels funny.
That's because the pants are tight.
pants.
Yeah, I mean, the movie manages to be terrifying and yet, like, awe-inspiring at the same time, because, like, those space shots are gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Absolutely beautiful. And the ship is unlike anything you've seen before.
Mm-hmm.
The Nostromo is, it's not Star Trek and it's not Star Wars. It's something entirely different, and it's dark and it's dirty.
It's like a junk
and
spaceship.
Yeah,
it looks like it's like one step above a space Winnebago. One
step above that. That's exactly what it is.
They don't use Winnebago. Yeah.
Lone Star, Captain Dallas.
Yeah,
and one of the things from that movie. Forget even the aliens, which are terrifying. The xenomorphs are fucking terrifying. Just the scenes when there's just the beeps.
I mean, you hear it and you immediately recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, think of how many sound effects you can recognize on just one sound like that. I mean,
Godzilla.
It's only
or that, whatever that was.
That wasn't Godzilla.
I mean, the Charles? Alien is terrifying. Without H.R. Geiger's art, you don't have this movie,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is why I say it's more than just Ridley Scott, because I'm a big Ridley Scott fan.
Yeah.
But it's it's him. It's the cast. It's what do you say?
I said, well, because big. You
haven't seen Hannibal.
That's true. I haven't seen Hannibal.
Oh, no, I was saying more like he's 5 feet
you know
tall.
Yeah. favorite actor in that movie is Ian Holm. As
as the android.
Yeah. Oh. So
cool. Shit. What the hell?
Forget the name of the android.
Yeah.
I apologize.
I just forgot.
But I know. I feel the same way about the ship. I remember watching this movie, and I saw it for the first time maybe 2 or 3 years ago. So mm-hmm. it's still new to me as far as the franchise. And I remember watching it, going like, "Oh, I love this. This is like so like it's a shitty fucking. It's grimy and dirty, and
mm-hmm.
and you could tell there's no fritz, there's no frazzle, there's no like, oh, look at this cool space thing can do. It's
right,
like, nah, this is the fucking. This is like the if spaceships were real, this is what it'd probably look like because we're not.
Yeah.
There's no white in this fucking in this shot.
And then the whole subplot of. It's not really a subplot. It's the whole purpose of the movie. When Ian Holm, you find out, has betrayed everyone.
Yeah,
and this has all been for the benefit of the company, right? You don't find out that it's Weyland Yutani until I think it's the second or third movie. Everyone was just thrown out on the line by this android.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely no regard for human life, for his own life. You know.
There's so many great things, and
the chestbuster scene,
and they didn't tell anybody what was going to happen,
right?
So everything that they saw was
genuine reaction.
They use real guts, right? Real blood or whatever the fuck.
They use like pig's blood and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's real blood. Yeah. Like, no, it's not real pigs. They're like, I beg to differ, sir.
I've seen pigs. I know they exist.
they did two great things with that movie. One is
oh man, when he comes out, the fucking chat, hello, my baby.
Your little hat, adorable.
Adorable.
One thing that is him. In Spaceballs.
Yeah,
by the way, rest in peace.
He had the special. What? I had the special. Wait, cancel my special.
A few things about that movie that is really great. One is they tried to make it like the Nostromo's, like a junkyard ship. They tried to give all these people a personality, like a municipality. Like, these are just like common everyday workers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, much of the conversation before the alien happens is like, oh, when am I going to get my raise? How are you performing your tasks? And stuff
I'm not going to work.
Average Space Joe.
Average Space Joe. Yeah. I know it sounds weird, but it makes the movie somewhat
relatable.
Malleable and relatable, yes. And then the undercurrent of that movie is really about like exploring sexuality.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, AIDS is starting to become a thing, and like that's all exploring that little realms and depths of
the
Charlie Sheen wasn't in this movie.
one of the themes
second
that
Charlie Sheen joke in this podcast.
They what the hell is the name of the writer? Dan O'Bannon.
Dan O'Bannon.
Right, Dan O'Bannon. I saw an interview with him.
Sounds like a fake as fuck
he,
name.
Dan
O'Bannon.
The guy's really important. He helped make Star Wars happen. He made aliens happen. The guy was a big thing.
Star Trek. Yeah. Next Generation. He was really involved with. He thought about what fears people have, but they don't want to talk about. And he thought about what the target demographic for sci-fi and horror was, and it's young boys. And so he said, well, boys are afraid of being fucking sexually assaulted. They don't talk about this, right? But they're afraid of their own fucking dicks. And so that's essentially what the fucking xenomorph. What the xenomorph does is it rapes you. It attaches itself to your face and it skull fucks you.
Yeah.
Is what it does, and it sends its fucking jizz down you.
Prominent.
And inseminates you.
I knew there was something about Trump I didn't like.
and then it fucking comes out. Everything.
I just imagine Trump as a queen alien.
Yeah, that's how that is. Is he not? Is that not what we're doing?
These eggs are amazing.
These are the best eggs ever. You won't even believe how great these eggs are. Believe me, they're great.
I don't like those space marines.
No one knows as much as me about growing space eggs. All right, they're gonna be huge.
Good
the
genes.
Best. It's good better.
Genes. It's good genes, people. Right, smart.
You're right, man. The cast really makes it feel alive. The ship feels alive because of the look. It feels alive because of the cast. And then, like, it's almost like it goes from 0 to 60.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, because once that chestbuster scene happens, it's just fucking no holds barred until the end of the fucking movie, and you're on the fucking edge of your seat.
Did you say no holds barred? Don't give away my number one, please.
And that final confrontation where Ripley is getting to the escape pod, and then she gets there, and there's the fucking alien. Like, it just refuses to fucking die.
It's so crazy how odd the alien is, but it blends in with almost every background. That spaceship is fucking crazy.
Oh my. And Ripley's pussy is beautiful. That cat was amazing.
I mean it made it
through two movies. It was fucking so good.
So
what'd you guys think I was talking about? it's a great. I love that movie, man. I really do. I was very. I'm one of those people, and again, we've talked about this in private, David and I. I will watch. I have to on
with,
his recommendation
on
his recommendation I would
don't
watch
talk about that.
I would watch Aliens. I'm gonna try to watch Aliens Part 2 again, because I tried watching it right after watching Alien for the first time, and I was like, this movie sucks.
It's very different.
Very different. It was an action movie as opposed to a thriller. I didn't fucking like it at all. I hated the fucking misogynistic tones of it. Like, oh, look, Ripley could get into an exosuit and pick up a barrel. What the fuck, dude? Are you kidding me? You guys hired her because of what she was able to do in Part 1. What the fuck is wrong with you? Fuck this. And I just gave up watching the movie. I was really angry at that movie.
He sounds really excited to watch it.
But Dave was like, dude, you gotta watch it, sit through it, it's great, believe me, it's the best.
Fantastic, it's
got the best.
I know sequels, and this one has the best sequel. It's gonna be the best, it's gonna be huge, it's gonna be awesome.
So I'm willing to give it a shot.
Alien Isolation is a fantastic pseudo continuation of Alien, because it picks up 15 years after the events of Alien, which is still like 60 years before the events of Aliens. And you play as Ellen Ripley's daughter, which there's a scene that was cut from the film, her recording something for her daughter.
That's cool.
Yeah, and then she mentions her daughter in the second movie.
Yeah.
So you play as her daughter going to the last known location of the Nostromo. They find the black box, essentially. And
everything in that ship is black.
So it's a great game. I know you don't particularly care for horror games as well, but wow, what a fucking game.
Yeah, so I but I'm a big fan of this movie, of Alien the movie, big fan of this movie.
One of the greatest catch lines of all time.
In space, no one can hear you scream. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely perfect.
Preach.
Better than Two Wong Fu's? All right. I have a woman friend with an Adam's apple. That's not a great tagline. That's not a great one. I thought it was a fantastic one. Aliens. Alien is dope, man. Jeff.
All right, my number two. I went with the psychological horror in this one. Watching the downfall of a man and the slow descent into insanity, and it's The Shining.
Oh, awesome movie.
I've seen it in its entirety.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome man.
You had The Shining.
The Shining.
Don't you mean The Shining?
Shh. We don't have the money to pay for the rights.
Even with fucking psychopath Stanley Kubrick doing it. Psychopath. Bro, that guy
he's a genius in a psychotic way.
That doesn't take away from him being a genius.
I just like the fact that you're like, you could have said genius first, but like, even with a fucking psychopath.
He was like a mad scientist, you know? He was like, great, but he also can kill you.
Because like, Stephen King wrote a script, and he was like, nah, I'm going to write my own in 55 days. So he wrote his own script, and then he filmed this movie chronologically. The movie
which
was filmed
very rarely done.
Which is almost never done.
Yeah.
And it's
Platoon was also filmed that way.
Well, was it? That I didn't know. That.
Platoon was also filmed chronologically. And here's the thing. Because it was filmed chronologically, as characters died off in the movie, the green room, if you will, the you know, where actors go and hang out, throughout the movie, throughout the filming, became less and less crowded. To literally, it was down to Charlie Sheen and...
Willem Dafoe?
Martin?
The other crazy fucking the substitute
Willem Dafoe
Tom Berenger.
Berenger. That's Berenger.
So it was like literally his name.
The substitute. I love that because I was like sniper.
Sniper.
That's where I thought
Major League. Major League
substitute and the Major League are really where it's at. Anyway, so
you didn't like Sniper.
You didn't like Sniper.
I didn't see Sniper, but it's what, Billy better. Zane? Than, is it better?
I have a child.
Major League.
Yeah, no.
All
right. Also Inception. He's in the session for a little while.
Yeah.
Is an exception, right? Anyways, very few movies are filmed chronologically.
Yeah.
So they had to build these sets and have these sets like set for the, so to speak, as they went. What's cool is that the kid who played Danny was 5, and Stanley Kubrick like was really cared about the kid, and the kid didn't know he was in a horror movie until he saw the movie completed.
Right.
Oh, man.
They made sure to keep away.
Why the fuck would they let him watch that movie?
Well, I think he was older when they showed it.
Were you 7?
Yeah.
Fucking Jesus!
That is 5 is not an appropriate age to see a rotting naked corpse in a bathtub. God, but 7.
Seven, and the thing is, you see,
kid, Easter Bunny's not real either. Get over it. Here's a dead corpse.
It's one of these it's one of these movies that it didn't get critical acclaim when it first came out. People did not like it when it first came out because Stanley Kubrick did.
Gives me hope for Batman vs Superman.
There you go.
In 25 years, there's going to be a fucking cult following.
I knew it.
But so what happened?
Can you believe people did fucking hated that movie when it came out?
Because people
hated the Martha. What the fuck, man? Look at Raul's face is shaking his head. That's hilarious.
People didn't like that it was kind of open ended.
Shit.
Right.
You didn't get a cut and dry ending. Mm-hmm. People hated that. They wanted it to be, this is the bad guy, this is the good guy, this is the bad guy loses or whatever, and then we move on. So that's why a lot of people didn't like it. I think watching Jack Nicholson slowly descend into insanity.
It's brilliant.
It's phenomenal. It's
but and, this is what blew him up. I mean, he had done other work before then.
Was Chinatown before?
Mm-hmm. Well, Chinatown was
over.
Chinatown was 74.
And One Flew Over was before, too, because that's one of the reasons. Yeah.
But, I mean,
he was established, dude.
No, well, Stephen King didn't want him.
He was established, but this role defined his career.
Well, Stephen King didn't want him in the movie because he said he already looked psychotic. They're like, how could you believe that this guy's becoming psychotic when he already looks psychotic?
Well, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is the story of his crazy dude.
Right.
You know?
There's a lot of like Stanley Kubrick.
That's a good monitor. We should put that on the list.
Jack Nicholson.
Yeah,
that is a good
one. There's
there's a lot of things that make me appreciate this movie more too, like Stanley Kubrick doing it. If you watch the movie, the room anatomy does not make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's doors where there shouldn't be. There's windows where they're not supposed to be. There's hallways that lead to nowhere.
Right.
It's meant to make the person watching it, the viewer, also lose track, so it adds to the film too.
Right.
It adds to the horror of it, because you're not comfortable. You're never comfortable. You know, the interesting fact, the set caught fire because they filmed a lot of the inside shots in London, mm-hmm, on the same set as, actually, because this movie got delayed, so did Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, okay.
Because it was set to film after this.
Yeah.
Funny enough, the set burned down. They had to rebuild a new set with higher roofs so that they could put lights above instead of from the outside.
Oh, okay.
To simulate daylight, because that's why it caught fire. That same room was the Well of Souls in Raiders of the Lost Ark. The room that they
used. So cool.
There you go. Fun fact about that.
Didn't know that.
And then him and Shelley Duvall.
Yeah.
They did not like each other. Mm-hmm. And she what?
It's not that they didn't like each other. It's that Stanley Kubrick made it his mission through every day to scare the shit out of Shelley.
No, she hated
Stanley. She hated him.
She hated
him. The scene where he's walking up the stairs and she's got the bat.
Yeah.
Famously, he made her do that 127 times until he got it. She got it exactly how he wanted it.
And they used a third take. What a fucking dick.
Was it really the third take?
I don't know. Does it matter? Does it fucking matter? 127 times? He could have picked any one of those and be like, yeah, all right. Yeah.
And we'll go with that one.
So, yeah, like, and Stanley Kubrick would tell the MPAA, he was like, oh, no, what's coming out of the elevators is rusty water. Because you weren't allowed to show blood in trailers at that time. Like large amounts of blood.
That's
like
so
that.
Iconic. Right. That scene.
And it's,
But
and
I thought it was Red Room.
That moment when you realize what the fuck Danny's been talking about, is one of those like, oh my fucking god, I can't believe I didn't piece this together moments.
Exactly. And the twins.
You know, there was somebody in the 70s that watched this movie. I knew it. I knew before it happened. I saw the twist coming.
It's great.
There's always that one asshole that fucking saw it. I saw it coming, bro. You could see it from a mile away. Shut up.
You know what?
No, you didn't.
The Stanley Hotel, it made it a landmark where people go to stay at the Stanley Hotel. Yeah. And mm-hmm.
Why? Why the fuck would people go voluntarily stay at that hotel?
Because people love that movie.
Yeah, and it's haunted. And they want to do the
haunted. Love that movie.
But yeah, I think it's a great movie. Yeah. I think
too scary. Why would
it's a psychological fuck you.
I absolutely love this movie,
and I love that it's not a cut and dry ending.
Yeah,
I absolutely love that. So that's my number two.
If for any of the listeners who do go off to watch The Shining, I highly recommend go on Netflix and watch the documentary 237.
Oh yeah,
237 about it. It's awesome. It covers a lot of details that you may miss in the first viewing, and it fills in a lot of details that are just really great. And
I mean, there's crazy theories too about it.
Yeah, but there's like obvious things are also there that are just great, great done.
All right, so that's my number two.
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
Classic. My number one. My number two, nobody's going to talk about. This is why I know that I'm not going to have the perfect game, is because of my number two, is The Exorcist. So I'll just talk about it now.
I'll mention.
Dave, you don't have this on your list? You really don't have this on your list?
Table, man.
Yeah, of course.
I was going to say.
Jeez.
Get the fuck out of here.
I was like,
I don't think we posted, right? We didn't post this topic.
No, we didn't post this topic.
So just honorable mentions.
Which is good because we started late.
Yeah.
No worries. My honorable mentions really quick. Exorcist, Evil Dead 2, Cabin in the Woods, Conjuring 1 and 2. And
like The Conjurings.
Anything James Wan, I think, is a new horror master of our generation.
I know you like him. You like him a lot.
Yeah, he's good.
I went with Evil Dead, The Omen. I absolutely love The Omen.
I love that movie.
Yeah. Richard Donner, dude. You can't go fucking wrong with Richard Donner.
Yeah, Superman 2. Yes, you could.
I disagree. I like
Cellophane,
Superman
2. Cellophane asses.
Not his.
It doesn't matter.
Shot.
It's his movie. It's his movie.
Not the Richard Donner cut.
It's his movie.
Not
okay.
It's not in the Richard Donner cut.
He went back in time in part one.
Okay, that's fucked up.
Thank you. Enough said. But whatever.
Halloween, the very first Halloween, and then I've got two fantastic kind of, I guess they're remakes, but not really. The Horror of Dracula and The Curse of Frankenstein, which are the late 50s in with color Christopher Lee, right? With Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing. I absolutely love both those movies. Mm. Peter Cushing's Van Helsing is just fucking crazy good.
His better than Mel Brooks's? Missed it by that much.
That much.
I have a Nightmare on Elm Street.
All right.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, great.
The Exorcist.
Fantastic.
You know, I really loved the remake Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Me too. Alexander Daddario.
Is it the one with
was Alexander Daddario?
That was the one with Jessica
Biel.
Person
that matters in that. No, they just did a new one with Alexander Daddario.
I thought the one was the one that came out in that, like, 99, 2000?
There's one with Jessica Biel.
Yeah.
But they just
that
came out.
That one with Jessica Biel was really fucking good.
Yeah,
really
no, fun. It was.
That's the only one I've seen, and I really fucking like that movie a lot.
They have a newer one with Alexandra Daddario that's in it.
That's better than that.
So hot.
I loved it. I love this
is
one.
Is it better than the Jessica Biel one?
I don't remember that much of the Jessica Biel one, okay. But I remember this
I
one.
Really love the Jessica
Biel. You don't remember that much of this one either, but you remember Alexandra Daddario. Well,
yeah.
Who wouldn't?
Fuck yeah. And then I have two movies that Neri's going to love because they're foreign. Let the Right One In. They just did a remake, but yeah. I love the original.
I love the porn parody of that movie. Also called Let the Right One In.
no change,
no
to, the
change
title.
To the title.
And then Japanese film Audition.
Audition I heard is really
my
good.
My favorite kind of porn.
Not this one.
The audition porn.
I forgot.
Piano wire and a foot.
I forgot one I'll mention.
My favorite kind of porn. Audition foot fetishes.
The Silent Hill movie is really good. And it's actually, I consider it the only good video game movie. Like, legitimately good. That's it. That's the only one I got.
You haven't seen Prince of Persia?
I seen Prince of Persia.
Okay. You never saw Super Mario Brothers? All right. Never saw Street Fighter.
I was with you.
You quote the fucking movie.
Street Fighter.
You quote that fucking movie a lot.
I will fight for Street Fighter.
Yeah. You fight. You quote the movie a lot.
Alexander Daddario's is Texas Chainsaw 3D.
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat's up there. I recently jammed out listening to that soundtrack.
To that one song over and over again.
That one song.
Nah, there's some good stuff on there. I like the Sub-Zero one.
Sorry.
I like the Sub-Zero.
Right, Neri, what are your honorable mentions?
My honorable mentions are Silence of the Lambs, Red Dragon. I would probably say it's maybe the Friday the 13th. Who is that?
That's Alexander Daddario in the movie.
Yeah, she's too thin for my taste, but she's very attractive.
Percy Jackson.
Huh?
Percy Jackson. Did you ever watch Percy Jackson?
Yeah, of course.
She was True Detective. Athena's
the very first season of True Detective.
Titty. Was she? Which was she? Was a girlfriend?
She's the
wife with the titties.
No. True Detective. She's the one that he's cheating on his
wife.
The girlfriend.
Oh, the girlfriend.
Yeah. Woo! Fire. That's a better way. Yeah, that's way better than that picture you showed.
Yeah. She lost weight in.
I think Red Dragon. I think Ralph Fiennes got the Voldemort role because of Red Dragon. If I'm correct, I'm certain.
I don't, man, that's going to be a hard topic. The villains one is going to be a hard topic because watch Ralph Fiennes in Red Dragon.
He's great.
And wow. Holy fuck, wow.
Great.
I love that series. The Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, Jason Takes New York. I really like that movie a lot.
That movie's so ridiculous. Jason Manhattan.
The one where he dunks a guy Manhattan. In acid?
Yeah, Takes Manhattan.
Yes. The one where boxer fucking takes him to the brink.
Yeah.
And then he goes, take your best shot. And then one punch, he rips his fucking head off. Oh, yes. That's the scene. That's the one where, if I'm not mistaken, before they leave to Manhattan, before he gets to Manhattan, that's the one where maybe I'm wrong.
Is that the one with the boat? Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah.
With
the arrow? The one with the body bag against a tree.
That's Jason versus Freddy.
No. That happened in Jason X. But it was a callback.
It was a callback to a previous one. Anyways, Friday the 13th. Yeah, there's a lot of those that I like.
My favorite is Friday the 13th 4, the final chapter.
With what's his kid's name? Help me out here, Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman.
Yes. Yeah. The one with Corey Feldman.
Yep.
I actually liked the remake that they did with Jared Padalecki.
The more recent one.
I have it on Blu-ray, actually. I actually really liked it.
I will borrow it if you will lend it to me.
I will lend it to you.
Thank you.
With an open heart.
The time that he watches Terminator and Terminator, he could fit it in between the two Terminators.
And that other time that I watched Terminator.
All right. All right. So, that, yeah, my honorable mentions are, I keep it to four because I'm not a cheater. I don't have 50 that I could fucking swap in and out.
Let me go with some more.
So, what are your number ones?
My number
one. So number twos were Blair Witch Project, Alien, The Shinin, and Exorcist.
My number one, guys, is it's one of my fucking favorite movies. It's The Thing. John Carpenter's.
Awesome. That is fantastic.
It is one of my it's, I understand that many people consider like The Fly the definitive body horror movie. Oh, no, it's definitely.
That's another fucking great
movie. That's another great movie, by the way.
Honorable mention, The Fly.
But, there you go. There's your five.
There's your five.
But The Thing.
That's actually
is,
my number four.
The Cronenberg one, right? The remake?
The one with Jeff Goldblum? The only one I know is Jeff Goldblum.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, there's one with Vincent Price.
Yeah.
Is that in color?
That's The Mosquito, though.
It is in color, yeah.
Is it Technicolor?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm in real color.
Yeah. Technicolor is technically color.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's short for technically, it's in color.
Technicolor means sepia. I'm all right. Thanks.
Oh, man. What can I say about this movie, bro? I think this is one.
You love this movie. You talked about it during your monster mountain.
You want to talk? I have never been more terrified as an adult going through a haunted house than The Thing haunted house in Halloween Horror Nights, because I am terrified of this creature.
The thought that it's
a cell, like a cell of something can fall on your skin and you're done. That's it. It's over. It plays on these fears of viralness and
AIDS.
AIDS, but also, and it's also something with I
third Charlie Sheen reference in this podcast.
Yes,
we're fucked up.
Not that he's a horror, not
Charlie
that
Sheen just is AIDS. Charlie Sheen.
I'm not saying he's a monster. You know, he's just winning all the time.
He's not a monster. That's he's just Charlie a warlock.
Third Charlie Sheen reference.
And there was a Major League reference in this fucking thing.
Oh fuck.
Something with zombie movies and with The Thing, one of the concepts, and it's something that George Romero talks about a lot, is the reason why zombies and those type of films where he's talking about a transfer of a viral disease is terrifying. It's not the thought about a disease or a viral, something like that happening, like a virus. It's the thought of an idea transferring from a person to a person to a person.
And we call that the 2016 presidential election.
Exactly, if you want to say it like that. So it's just a terrifying movie. Kurt Russell, Keith David, Wilford Brimley in his movie. Music done by Ennio Morricone, which blew my mind. I did not know that about this movie.
Huh. I always assumed that John Carpenter did the music himself because he scores almost all his movies.
I know. I looked it up. I believe you. And which is a great score, that bump, 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 bump. It's such a great score. Ominous ending. Just so many amazing practical effects that hold up to this day.
Yeah, they really do.
That operating scene operating room scene is amazing. It is pure terror and just awesome practical effects.
And that all this is going on in the backdrop of this pristine, pure white, you know, Antarctic backdrop. It's brilliant, man. Brilliant. And there's it's been done again.
Yeah.
You know,
Three weeks since you looked at me.
there was an episode of X-Files in the first season where it's essentially always the same exact scenario.
Yeah.
There's always an episode
of X-Files.
Or Twilight Zone.
Or Twilight Zone.
And
that's his one time at Bandcamp.
This one X-Files episode?
Yeah. The one time in Twilight Zone?
The same thing happened.
Do I mention X-Files more than Star Trek?
No, I think you mentioned Twilight Zone, actually.
I would say,
Twilight Zone more than X-Files,
and X-Files more than Star Trek.
Star Trek, yeah.
That's
maybe because you know that we're not Star Trekkies, so you're like, let me give them something that they can relate to.
Yeah.
Let's give them something to talk about.
Something to talk about.
And there's a show called Helix on Sci-Fi. I don't know if you saw the show.
Based off of a Twilight
Zone. The very... Actually, the first season of Helix is almost exactly like you could swear that you're watching the fucking thing, because it's a research facility out in Antarctica where there's been a viral outbreak. it plays out quite differently, and it's a massive research facility. Yeah. But it's that like same
the Umbrella Corporation.
Kinda, yeah, it kind of is. There is this evil sort of, you know, corporation behind everything. So it's a classic.
It's actually based off of the 1937 episode of Twilight Zone, starring Orenthal Murphy. Twas the night that it came in.
it was actually Fatty Arbuckle's directorial debut.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, God.
Fatty Arbuckle. Fatty Arbuckle could be Owen, what's his name? Owen, Orson Welles' pen name. Like so fucking Fatty God. Arbuckle. God, Jesus.
And then if any of you, our listeners, are not into like
I haven't horrible, seen the thing, but you rave about it.
Hold on, take your pants off.
I have it on iTunes.
Yeah, dude, I always recommend.
I know.
It's definitely. I personally don't recommend watching while light's on. I personally recommend this as a daylight.
I watched fucking Dead Snow with the lights on.
Yeah, that's a comedy.
Comedy.
Well, yeah.
No, pa tanto.
I don't think it's a comedy.
It's classified
on
as horror comedy.
I don't think it's a comedy on purpose.
Right. No, it is. It is.
I think it is.
But our listeners out there,
I think it's horror by accident, but comedy on purpose.
Yeah. I think they went for it. I think they went for real horror. Anyway, we'll talk about that later.
For our listeners out there who are not into like grotesque stuff, another movie along the same lines as this is Invasion of the Body Snatchers, which is a very similar plot line.
Awesome movie. Also.
Based on another.
Another Twilight Zone episode. Actually, that is right? Based on an Outer Limits episode.
Outer Limits.
No, the original Body Snatchers was 53, I think, before any of
the
that.
The one with Donald Sutherland?
No, that was 70. Yeah,
the original one was a medium Arbuckle. He wasn't yet fatty.
Arbuckle light.
Oh, my God.
So what's your number one now?
My number one is The Exorcist. I don't want to go too deep into this because the first episode of Shiver, we spent a good two hours talking about The Exorcist, but it is in my opinion absolutely my favorite. You know, I could probably agree that there are movies that are better movies as a whole, but as far as what scares, like I would probably say that Alien, my number two, is a better film overall than The Exorcist, but The Exorcist scares me in ways that.
Well, I would definitely say based on just on horror, I would say I don't remember a movie scaring me more than that's not true. Fuck, another honorable mention. The Ring. God damn it.
Oh, The Ring's good. Yeah.
Hey, six honorable mentions. Chill out, bro.
It's actually five.
No, you added The Fly.
No, it was...
You added The Fly.
No, exactly. I added The Fly. It was the two... It was... Anthony Hopkins...
it was Red Dragon.
Silence of the Lambs, Red Dragon, New York, Friday the 13th, and The Fly.
One of these things is not like the other.
But you mentioned The Fly, and you said that's another honorable mention.
Right, that was my number four. And then my number five is now.
So okay, really quick. By the way, great episode, guys. I listened to it the other day.
Thank you.
What is the most scariest scene in that movie for you guys?
The plot holes.
apparently, I didn't get that. Fucking
so
poor Father
fast.
Mariner.
So
Jesus.
So
I was. It was there. It was ready. It was loaded in the gun.
I actually had it before when he goes. I can't think of another movie that's better. And I was like, well, yeah, perfect plot holes. Like, but I held back. I didn't say.
Fuck that shit.
What was your the scariest? I honestly think the scariest movie was the picture of the demon whose name we do not know until part two, flashing that scared
I agree.
Fucking bejesus out of me.
Yeah,
a lot. I saw that movie as an adult.
I think for. It's hard to choose because there's a lot.
The scene where they let the priest alone in the room with the kid?
Dangerous.
No, it's dangerous. It might be the crab walk down the stairs.
The crab walk downstairs.
That's great. For me, that's terrifying.
The doctor prescribing medicines even though he said that he's not a psychiatrist. That's
there you go, yeah.
Shit.
All those unnecessary tests that were done on her, that's terrifying.
Electroshock therapy happening in the 70s.
No, fuck the electroshock therapy. They gave her a fucking spinal tap.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They gave her a spinal tap because she...
didn't want to fucking sleep in her own bed.
No, no, no.
It went up to 11.
Fuck! Boom, boom.
Too slow, Junior.
Today, Junior.
You know what else for me is terrifying, and it's not because it's scarier than any of the other things that happen, but it's because when you finally hear for the first time, yeah. Reagan is when they walk into her room and Reagan slaps her mother and she says, "Keep away, the sow is mine." It's oh fuck, I'm getting goosebumps right now just thinking. Yeah, fuck. There's so many. Let Jesus fuck you. That scene is so crazy.
The acting her mom did at the beginning.
Terrifying. You know, it's a scene that catches my eye now more and more. And it used to be a throwaway scene for me, but when she first turns her head backwards and then the chest of drawers slams the door,
yeah,
and she starts yelling at her mom, "Do you know what she did?" And like, it's fucking insanely terrifying. Yeah. No wonder Linda Blair went to fucking psychiatric ward after this.
The one that scared the fuck out of me was actually a series of, it was the 18 sweeping shots in the beginning of the movie.
Motherfucking sweeping shots.
Nine, was it? It was nine?
It was eight, I think, in the first minute.
Listen, guys, for those of you who aren't listening to the Shiver podcast episode, the very first episode, we talk about an exorcist, and Jeff and I do our very best to make David hate it. And clearly failed because it's still his number one.
Yeah. We did get him to admit a plot hole.
There's one.
And it was my number two, so I still very much love this movie.
Yeah.
It's very honorable much mention scared for the me. Fuck out of me. It was very scary, and with the exception of The Ring, I would say this is the movie that scared me the most. The Ring, I legitimately had fear. Like, legitimately, didn't I go to bed, started mowing the lawn at 6 a.m. so that the sun would rise, and I would be so tired that I would go to sleep by the time I finished mowing the lawn 2.5 hours later. Mm-hmm. That's how fucking scared I was. Yeah. In the
wow.
Ring. Legit. Yeah.
More than Demon Disco scene?
More than Demon Disco scene. But Demon Disco, all that happened to me as a kid.
Yeah.
So that happened.
Go ahead, watch it now.
I'm not watching that shit now. Jacob's Ladder, all those Jacob's the Serpent and the Rainbow, all of those scared me as kids. And as an adult, the two movies that have stuck with me, and I get scared easily, I don't know if easily is the word, but I legitimately got scared with The Exorcist that I saw for the first time when I was 18, 19, and The Ring that I probably saw when I was 23, 24 years old. Mm-hmm. And it legitimately is those two movies. But yeah, I love The Exorcist. I think it's a fantastic movie. Listen to the Shiver, first episode of Shiver, because I promise you, you'll get an in-depth review on it.
Did you see Dominion, the prequel movie?
He's seen them all.
I haven't seen them.
With Alexander Skarsgård. It's good. It's good.
No, I haven't seen that one.
Jeffrey, number one.
Zombievers.
Nice.
No, just...
No, come on, we all know.
It's Jaws.
It's Jaws?
Yeah.
It's sure? Jaws. It's not Killer Clowns from Space?
It's such a great movie. It's Jaws. Talk about a movie that fucking terrified the planet when it came out.
Yeah.
People were fucking terrified of going into the ocean because of this fucking movie. There's even a meme that's going around to this day of my most terrifying fear as a child, and it's a pool with a photoshopped image of Jaws inside the pool. An empty pool with just Jaws in it.
You mean Bruno?
Bruce.
My name's Bruce.
So close, buddy. So... It
now I just keep thinking about the shark with those yellow short shorts that Bruno had.
Yeah. What's up? Yeah. It's me, the shark. Welcome to Gay Ocean.
And now our exclusive interview has some fun.
Oh my.
Let's talk to Jacques Duc-
Jacques Cousteau. Why you go in the water so much, Jacques?
I derailed him. I just totally did.
It's
totally
okay. So, movie based off of the novel by Peter Benchley.
Right.
He was in the movie. Mm-hmm. He was a reporter in the movie.
Don't you ever call me the mayor?
Talk about.
Don't you ever call me Mayor Jaws?
Don't you ever call me the mayor? talk about a movie that like there were so many issues with it. Mm-hmm. It went fucking $6 million over budget. It went an extra 100 days over the time frame that the studio had wanted them to do it. The shark, all the different mechanical.
100 days is basically what the studio wanted them to film.
And 55 days.
And they want 100 days. No, but I'm saying a blockbuster nowadays will film about 100, 150 days.
Yeah.
And they want 100 days over that.
Yeah, they wanted 55 days. 3 million in 55 days. 3.5 million in 55 days. Ended up being 9 million in 159 days.
Mm-hmm. But they got their money back, I'm assuming.
I think maybe.
A bit.
Not even adjusting for inflation, they got their money back.
They did with this movie, and I know this was on your mountain, so yeah. Feel free to jump in.
Not, you know, without looking first.
Oh,
always look before you jump.
Yeah.
Always look. So you know you've got a film where because of all the issues, the shark doesn't appear fully till an hour and 21 minutes into the movie,
and still parts of it are obstructed.
Right. Yeah. And because it's they basically consider the first time it fully appears is with Brody when he says the famous line,
yeah,
that you're gonna need a bigger boat, you know. And you were terrified even before they showed the shark,
yeah,
because of that classic, that iconic opening scene.
It sets the tone for the film perfectly,
you know. She's drowning, she's getting eaten by herself. You just see the water tossing around. You see Billy.
She's a sick fuck. Like, she's getting eaten by herself. Like, that's impressive.
Like, you see a child.
That girl's going places.
You know, and it and you see.
Was she a yoga instructor?
You see how sad this whole town relies on this business and how it's affecting them. And it's not just a stud. It's not just a. Like you said, it's not just a horror film. There's so many different layers to it because you see how these people are dealing with it. You've got amazing acting by Richard Dreyfuss, you know.
Oh, man.
Robert Shaw,
yeah,
fucking, you know,
Roy Scheider.
Like, it's Robert Shaw was drunk the entire fucking time, but they had to have somebody with him at all times.
I mean, everything about this movie is awesome, but I think without Robert Shaw, the movie doesn't work.
Without the three of them, because I think Roy Scheider playing the police chief that everybody's kind of takes as a joke because he's not a local.
I would say that he is probably, and I'm by no stretch of the imagination saying that he's not important to the film as a whole, but I would say of the three of them, he's the one that if you had to replace one, it would be him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think Quint
is a straight man.
No way you can replace him with anyone, and I can't imagine anyone in Richard Dreyfuss's place either.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree. And they took creative liberties from the book.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Benchley didn't like the.
They didn't respect the source material, bro.
I'm trying to be calm about it.
They didn't respect the source material.
Well, he didn't like the ending, and he didn't. He originally was like, "I don't know how this is gonna work," but when they saw the full film, he's like, "No, I love it."
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, it was a film that that fucked with you on a mental level where you were like, you jump in the water, you'd go into the beach, and you're like, something could fucking.
I still do.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
It still messes with me to this day. Anytime this movie's on TV,
by the time a shark gets to your feet, the dorsal fin's already been out of the water. You could already
come on. Being short does have its advantages.
Oh, you know,
God.
Patty your little legs off.
Tell me the time that you started watching the Discovery Channel that the sharks explode out of the water. You're like, fuck this.
This is it. This is fucking it. And you know, and Steven Spielberg,
we often go swimming and we often go swimming in, you know, 200 feet deep waters. You know,
all
the time.
But
you probably do because you're an actual fisherman.
I've seen some big fucking sharks. But.
You know, props to Steven Spielberg because he took what the issues he had and he was like, okay, well, we don't have to show the shark. We can show barrels that are attached to the shark. We can do this. We can do that. Robert Shaw, the famous scene that he's known for inside the cabin, he wrote that entire speech himself.
Yeah.
But he was so blackout drunk that he made them do a retake the next day. And some of you can actually tell if you watch it, they splice the scenes of it together because he didn't remember saying the dialogue.
Right.
Because he was so blackout drunk. But you can actually see like where he's super sweaty and then he's not throughout the dialogue because it was the reshoot afterwards. Yeah. And it was like you still got that fucking
It had reshoots, guys. I mean, it's going to suck, guys.
You know,
it's going to have problems. The order reshoots. That only happens when the movie has problems. Scared.
That is that is my favorite scene in the film is the three of them in the cabin.
Yeah.
It's...
It's so ironically good. Still bigger than the cabins that I have when I work on cruise ships.
But yeah, I think just Jaws is a phenomenal movie, and I mean, I could talk about
can
it
I
more.
Tell you the one jump scare that continuously to this day I've seen that movie.
I think I know what it is.
You know what jump scare it is?
In when he's scuba diving.
Yes, yeah, always, yeah. Every time.
Yep.
Are you a scuba diver?
I've dove.
Yeah, that's probably why.
But it's just because
you can relate to that scene. You can relate to that.
I can relate that. I'm gonna look up and a guy with one eye missing is gonna be fucking there. Yeah.
That's the same way I feel. And I feel the same way about the scene in Jaws 3D when he's swimming around. I haven't seen Jaws the original in its entirety, so.
Oh man!
But I saw Jaws 3D, which is an episode of Mystery Rubro Theater.
Yeah, that we
go
did.
Back and check it out.
We did it, right? Was it you?
I wasn't on that one.
I was on that one.
It's on my iTunes, man. You gotta.
If Jaws is on TV, I
don't think
watch
it's a scary movie. I don't think it's a scary movie. I've probably seen the movie. I just haven't sat down from beginning to end. But I've seen so many bits and pieces for long periods of time that I could say with a good amount. I've probably seen that movie. I just haven't sat down and watched it from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. I don't think that movie's scary.
It's not scary for me now.
I don't think the movie was ever scary for me.
No, when I saw it as a
kid. You know what was scary for me? Was my fucking brothers pulling me down, telling me that's a fucking shark. That's not the same thing as being scared because of that movie. That movie did nothing for me as a kid.
I don't know, man. That scene where...
And I'm not saying that it's not a good horror movie. I'm not saying that it's not a great movie because, again, I love... Especially when I hear stories of the making of the movie, how that proves... This shows early on in his career how brilliant
Spielberg
already was.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. Forget about now.
Yeah.
You know, you take a director who's made 50 movies, there's a good chance
that was his first big budget picture.
First big budget. That's the first blockbuster ever. Yeah. That's the first cinematic blockbuster.
Yeah.
And, you know, hearing stories like that, I appreciate the movie, and I think it's a good... I really do think it's a good movie. I'm not being that guy. It's not like my opinion with Rogue One, where I was like, it's a good movie. Oh, overrated, but it's a good movie. I don't think Jaws is overrated. I think Jaws is a really good movie. I don't see it as a horror movie. That's my only...
No, I understand that.
I can see...
But I do think it's a good movie. I think it's a really good... Again, I haven't seen it from beginning to end in one sitting, but I've seen a lot of that movie, a lot of pieces. I think the acting is stupendous. My favorite character would have to be... Mr. Holland and his office is amazing. Richard Dreyfuss could do a fucking mountain. Richard Dreyfuss, his acting, he should give a master class. That's how good that guy's acting is.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Yep.
So I like a lot of things about that movie.
He was so good in Piranha.
How about the good man?
It's a little bit part, man, but it's awesome.
Yeah. All right, but yeah, so that's my number one.
All right. Nice. My number one, and I'm really surprised that Jeff didn't have this on his list, is Wolf Cop. And
I love you. I wish. God, I wish that
I saw
was real.
Wolf Cop recently.
I wish that was real.
You saw Wolf Cop recently?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Did you lose a bet? Are you on sugar?
I felt like...
Just wait till Wolf Cop 2, because they are going to make it.
That's good. That's
isn't
great.
Isn't there a cartoon?
Know.
On Adult Swim, that it's basically
Axe Cop.
Axe Cop,
yeah,
which is based off of.
Isn't that it's like very similar, right? Like
except that he's not a wolf.
Yeah, I'm talking about the way they behave.
Yeah,
it's like very fucking similar. Yeah. Right? Yeah. No, my number one.
They don't have
one,
wolf blowjobs.
Wolf blowjobs. Wolf men do have nards, and they like getting blown.
So good movie, such a good movie.
Another honorable mention, number six. God damn, Monster maybe there Squad. Is 50 movies that I could.
I'm telling you, bro.
Maybe there is. Number one favorite horror movie of all time is Final Girls.
Bro, this movie is so good.
I fucking love
this. You guys really love this movie.
I saw it for the very first time. I'm the one that sold Dave on buying it because I wanted to see it. Because the meta of it really attracted me. The trailer I loved. Then... A year later, in the chat, talking, you know, I brought it up to David because I knew if I talk it up enough, he'll buy it, which he did. And I saw it.
Hashtag sucker.
And when I know.
Oh, there's no sucker.
There is
that,
none.
That movie
was
great.
Oh, no, that movie was great.
You want to talk about sucker?
$15.
Talk about the movie that fucking the guy, look at the guy, and fingers pointing at me, who bought a movie that David already had.
Which one?
The Public Enemies.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great movie. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I already own it. God damn it.
That was your fault because it has fedoras.
It's my
so that's automatically Dave has it.
I don't have Road to Perdition, just in case anyone wants to ask. Yeah. I don't. I know.
So going back to Final Girls, I really, when I watched that movie, it was so fucking phenomenal. Everything about it, the meta, the way they did their flashbacks, the fucking everything was so fucking fantastic.
It's a very cool movie.
It was one of those movies that I really want to write the sequel to that movie. Like, it's really one of those, and I already have a kick-ass idea for the sequel. The sequel will be, the beginning of the sequel will be the beginning of part three, the end of part two of Final Girls, and the beginning of part three, and it will be in space, and it will be fucking great. And you could do everything you could do with those metal tricks in space, and it will be fucking amazing.
Let me ask, is it like Tucker and Dale versus the Force of Evil?
Tucker and Dale versus Evil?
Versus Evil, excuse me.
I haven't seen it.
Yes and no.
It's good. It's good.
It's a comedy. Alan Tudyk, and fucking forgot what this fat guy's name is, but it's Alan. But
fat guy Romero. I don't know what.
Fatty Arbuckle.
The only other thing I can imagine that fat guy in is Zach and Mary with the coffee.
Was he in Reaper? Yes. Was he the friend in Reaper?
Bro, no. The only thing I remember is Zach and Mary.
Wait, Shaw Reaper.
He was the guy Reaper. That says fuck it, chug it, football.
Yes, he was a friend in Reaper.
I know who. I've seen every episode of Reaper.
It's him and Alan Tudyk. But it kind of is the thing. Is this one's more like it's a horror movie within a horror
So the premise is that there is a horror movie that has become a cult classic. It is in the vein of Friday the 13th,
called Camp Blood.
Camp Blood, right? So the name of the horror movie within this movie is Camp Blood. Now, there was an actress that was in Camp Blood that is now a mother of the main character of this movie. Stay with me, if you will.
I am here.
So the mother played.
You lost me.
The mother played by
Malin Ackerman.
I was going to say the chick from The Watchmen.
Malin Ackerman.
Mila Ackerman.
Right. She dies. The daughter goes to a viewing of the movie, like a screening of the movie, and something there's a big something that happens. Everybody starts running out of the movie theater. I'm not going to tell you what it is. And somehow her and her immediate friends, four friends, find themselves in the fucking movie that her mom was
in.
So now she's going through this whole thing of like, oh, that's my mom, and it's not her mom. It's the fucking, it's her mom is playing.
It's her character. Mother 30 years before.
Yeah, and which looks remarkably the same.
Yeah, right? She ages really well.
She's not even black, which is weird.
But Tom Middleditch is in it. Adam Devine is in it. Yeah.
That's my favorite death one. That's my favorite death scene. Fucking death scene. That's so really
fucking good. Spoiler alert.
The girl from the first season of American Horror Story, Farmiga.
Emma Roberts?
No. Something Farmiga or
Thaisa Farmiga.
That one.
Fucking good. I saw this movie and before I saw this movie a month and a half ago. And before watching this movie, you would have asked me what's your favorite horror movie, and without thinking twice, I would have told you The Exorcist. And I saw this movie, and I literally texted this to Dave. I was like, this is my new favorite horror movie. I love this fucking movie so much.
The film was conceived and co-written by Joshua John Miller as a way of dealing with the death of his dad, Jason Miller, who had starred as Father Karras in The Exorcist.
Oh, no shit.
What? Mind blown, dude!
Yeah.
Spooky! This shit is
crazy.
Wow.
Are we going to get haunted by someone?
No, we don't have a Milton Bradley board game here. Cards Against Humanity. Woo! All right, so so yeah. Wow, I didn't know that.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. Great. I really want to fucking email him and be like, dude, I got an idea for a sequel. Please, let's fucking do the sequel, please.
In space.
Come on, nothing's cheesier than in space, dude.
I mean, Jason X.
Come on. So
there are some. I mean, just as a comedy, it's fantastic. As a horror movie, it's good. It's a really good slasher.
Dude, it's a good slasher movie. Yeah. That slow motion scene
when he jumps out the window. One of the most beautiful shots I have ever seen in any movie.
Beautiful fucking movie. It's like imagine if they did a classic slasher scene but with today's technology.
This is, you know what I'm talking about?
You know, today's camera technology, you know, 360, the whole fucking, it's such a beautiful fucking scene. You go, wow. I watched it on my phone and was like, holy fuck. And then I went home and watched it on a fucking big screen. I was like, wow.
Yeah. The original,
so fucking
the original edit of the slow motion sequence ran more than 3 minutes long. Director Todd Strauss wanted to keep it intact, but he met resistance from everyone and was forced to whittle it down to what was in the final cut.
So good.
I could have watched it for all 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah. I wish it was a director's cut.
But it starts in the room. The slow motion starts in the room.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, maybe
but he whittled it down to a minute and a half, 2 minutes. All right. It's still a long fucking scene, though.
Right? Yeah, that scene is crazy.
Stunning, stunning, man. I highly recommend this. Highly recommend this movie. It is a comedy, and some of the comedy is legit funny. Like, not like funny for a horror movie. Funny, and it's really fucking good, man. And I would. It has a slasher movie moments. It has the meta moments. It's really fucking good, man. Really good. So
it's good.
I love this movie.
It has everything except nudity.
Yeah,
it's ironic.
You know what I wanted to see. Never mind. Sorry.
I know. I think it's fucking great, man. That's my number one. Awesome. So, all right.
There were a couple repeats, right?
Exorcist was repeated.
Yes.
Jaws
was repeated, and that's it, man.
Okay.
Shit, now fight for two.
Exorcist and Jaws.
There were two Freddy Krueger movies.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we want to choose one of those.
It's up to you. I think either one of those Freddy movies are amazing to me. My personal, I mean, it was. I knew I was gonna pick a Freddy movie. I just didn't know which one. But I have no problem. I mean, I love New Nightmare, but I have no problem with picking the original. It's so good. The fucking Johnny Depp death scene in that movie.
Well, you were out of the room when he talked about it. That's like probably my favorite scene in the whole movie.
I don't know who to pick, guys. It's pretty tough.
American Werewolf in London. I will say that even as somebody who has claimed in this very episode that I don't like it, again, I haven't seen it as an adult, I will say that's an iconic fucking movie.
Yeah.
And to have a horror movie without that movie, I mean, you know. I'd probably
so the two for sure is Jaws and Exorcist. I'd say Nightmare and American Werewolf.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd say a Nightmare on Elm Street and American Werewolf, because I mean, Freddy's fucking
Freddy. Yeah.
All right, so
I don't know.
No, I'm totally okay with that. Like, I'm okay with not even going with Hannibal, just because I know if I would have put Silence of the Lambs, I know that would have got much more respect. But I love fucking Hannibal. I don't give a fuck. So Exorcist, Jaws, American Werewolf in London, and
Nightmare on Elm Street
was one away.
Fucking great,
one away.
Which is the one that you didn't?
Alien.
Yeah, because even if Alien, I mean, I would honestly choose The Shining. I would choose The Shining.
I would say Shining, yeah, because Jaws.
We could even go Shining over Jaws and American Alien, Werewolf in London.
Jaws and Alien are similar in that they're both like monster movies, you know?
Yeah. But I think they're fantastic. Either way, man.
I would personally put Shining over American Werewolf in London.
I also agree with that, too. You want to change that?
That's fine if Raul's okay with it.
Cause I was down, guys.
Doesn't matter. Nobody has a perfect game anyway.
Right.
So go with Exorcist, Jaws, Nightmare on Elm Street, and The Shining. Did you get a perfect game?
Me? No. I had Scream.
No.
What a waste of a perfect game.
No, and I didn't have Exorcist either.
Oh. What, because of the plot holes?
Yeah. I couldn't get past it.
And the bad mothering.
And the bad... Fucking shitty mom.
Make sure in the beginning.
I want to have Evil Dead 2 also.
So make sure.
Yeah, because you can get right past the Spinal Tap because you didn't want to sleep in your bed.
Spinal Tap wasn't until later in the movie. Spinal Tap wasn't until later.
But she didn't sleep in the bed, and then it was a Spinal Tap.
But it wasn't until later. The bad mothering was there. All right, so make sure just watch. Listen to Shiver, the guys. Is what we're trying to say. Make sure you guys check out Shiver. That's now found on the Geek Bro Network. Yep. You could also go check on iTunes and Stitcher and Podbean. So make sure you guys check that out. Check out our other podcasts on Geek Bro Network that include What's Up Bro, The Cosplay Fame, What's Good, Mamas Are Merlot, Zeros Aren't Hero, House of Heel, and... Am I missing one?
COS.
What's Good? No, he already did.
He did not?
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't say
that. We just spelled it out.
I guess. Shiver. So make sure you guys check that out. That's how lists are made.
Did you say what's up, bro?
Woo! Yeah, I did. That's it. I said what's up, bro.
I think she did.
Yeah, oh, I'm pretty sure.
You did.
Sorry. Yeah.
All right. Good conversation. Yeah.